नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनी नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर joining today's session. So today's session is going to be a special session as we had decided yesterday. So today we will have primarily the session will be dedicated to glorify through Brihad Bhagavatamrita. That is the theme here. So we are not essentially going to glorify Sanatan Goswami through his pastimes, which generally I think all over the world in all the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, in wherever Gaudiya Vaishnavas are there and ISKCON devotees are there, they'll be glorifying him through his pastimes. But today we are choosing to primarily glorify him through our study of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because that is our contribution to Srila Sanatana Goswami's pleasure. We have come together for the last 1 year almost to study with whatever sincerity we could muster, to study his teachings, which would be immensely pleasing to him. So that is our contribution. So we are as much as possible, we will try to keep it that way, stick to what we have learnt in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So that way it will be a very exclusive, a different kind of glorification session. Of course, you may definitely choose to connect what we have discussed in Brihad Bhagavatamrita to some of his life, pastimes also. That is perfectly fine. And apart from that, we are also going to those devotees who have had some personal, experience with His Holiness Maharaj, whose disappearance day also happens to be today. So if have had some personal experiences with Maharaj, you may also share. So therefore we will start today's session. I will just be coordinating the session. I will not be speaking today, but today is the day when I wish to hear, and there are at least about 10-11 devotees who have given their names. So, and some of them have sent audio clippings. Some of them have sent messages, written glorification. So we will read that also. But primarily, we will first start the live presentations. The live offerings we will hear first. Whether it is for His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj or for Srila Sanatana Goswami, whichever it is, in whichever order, we will hear. And in case Radha Pramod Prabhu is suggesting that first let us do for His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj, okay, we will follow that. So what we will do is we will see how long it takes, and if it's going to take more than 1:30, we will extend for as long as it goes, and then we will cancel Laghu Bhagavatamrita session for today if needed. I mean, I am not canceling it yet. We will see how far it goes, and if needed, we may cancel the Laghu Bhagavatamrita session. So I am not confirming it. Let us see if the session gets over before 1:30, then we will have Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So we will take a call on that towards the end of the session. Okay. So Okay, I am requesting devotees to kindly raise your hands. First, those who wish to, speak briefly about His Holiness Bhaktisaru Swami Maharaj, you can please raise your hands. I will unmute you. I mean, you can speak after that. I mean, in general, basically, if you can stick to, the personal interactions that you have had with Maharaj, that would be better. It would be nice. You can please raise your hands and I will unmute you. And then we can move ahead. I think yesterday, Madhumati Priyasakhi Mataji and Radha Pramod Prabhu had volunteered to speak about this. And we have one of his disciples, His Grace Radha Jeevan Prabhu also, he may also wish to share. So we can start with Radha Pramod Prabhu. You can please start, Prabhu. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirandascha Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I requested Radha Jeevan Prabhu because I am already, I don't want to do two things. I wanted him to speak on Maharaj and I requested him to do. I will be doing on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He can start, then after once he is done, then I will do.
Okay, fine. Okay.
If I will, I also have something to share on Maharaj, but I thought he will be better person to share about.
Okay, bro. Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you. Yes, Radha Jeevan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, bro.
Am I audible? No?
Yes, bro, you are audible.
प्रभु मैं हिंदी में बोलना चाहता हूँ जी।
बोलिए ना प्रभु, कुछ प्रॉब्लम नहीं, सब लोग हिंदी जानते हैं।
अरे ओम अज्ञान तुम्हारा दस्त ज्ञान मेरे खिलाफ है तो क्यों नहीं समझे कसम से जरूर मैं मना मंगल पढ़ा कुछ कुछ कार्य करें सुनो तो विचार सुनो तो सिग्नल से तो सुनो तो रजन मन से रखते मन के साथ जान नाम भी चार से नमः विष्णु पादय कृष्ण कृष्णाय वक्ले सुनो तो सत्य दान साथ नाम नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरव ने किस तरह से सुनो करते हैं थैंक यू सो मच फॉर गिविंग अपॉर्चुनिटी मुझे ये मौका देने के लिए गुरु महाराज के बारे में आज बोलने के लिए मेरा तो बहुत क्लोज इंटरेक्शन नहीं है गुरु महाराज के साथ फिर भी मैं दो बार गुरु महाराज से मिला पर्सनली और जो भी मैं महाराज से सुना है वो आज मैं शेयर करना चाहता हूँ तो मैं जब इस फोन में नया नया आया था तो मुझे तो ज़्यादा कुछ पता नहीं था फिलोसफी के बारे में तो बेसिकली मैं जब गुरु ढूंढ रहा था तो हमको तो बहुत सारे चॉइस है इस फोन में तो मैं जब पहली बार गुरु महाराज का भजन सुना मुझे बहुत 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 अच्छा लगा महाराज सिंह महाराज बहुत अच्छा भजन कीर्तन गाते हैं और सबसे पहले मुझे गुरु महाराज का भजन सुना तो बहुत अच्छा लगा तो उसके बाद मुझे इंग्लिश उतना अच्छा नहीं आता है तो मैं गुरु महाराज का हिंदी लेक्चर सुनता था और गुरु महाराज इतना सरल भाव से कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस फिलोसफी को बताते कि मुझे बहुत अच्छा लगता था आज भी अच्छा लगता है तो वो मुझे प्रेरणा मिला गुरु महाराज से दीक्षा लेने के लिए तो सिर्फ दो बार जैसे बोला मैं मिला तो पहली बार मैं इसको हैदराबाद में मिला था गुरु महाराज को मुझे वो सौभाग्य मिला मिलने के लिए तो कुछ तीन चार डिवोटिस थे और उस टाइम तो मैं बहुत जूनियर था मतलब जस्ट 6 महीना 1 साल कुछ हुआ था कृष्णा कॉन्शियस था के तो गुरु महाराज पूछ रहे थे और किसी का कुछ प्रश्न है तो मैं एक प्रश्न पूछा तो गुरु महाराज उसका आंसर दे आई डोंट नो. तो मुझे बहुत शौक लगा और मुझे बहुत खराब भी लगा कि मैं ऐसे एक प्रश्न पूछा जिसके लिए गुरु महाराज को मुझे पता नहीं बोलने का आंसर देना पड़ा. तो एक्चुअली मैं प्रश्न पूछा कि गुरु महाराज राधा रानी तिलक क्यों नहीं लगाते. तो महाराज सिंपली बोले आई डोंट नो और उसके बाद गुरु महाराज कुछ भी नहीं बोले. तो फिर दूसरे भक्तों ने पूछा तो उसके बाद मैं इसके बारे में सोचने लगा कि गुरु महाराज कुछ ना कुछ बोल सकते थे कि एक्चुअली इसका कुछ रीजन होगा. एक्चुअली इसके बारे में मैं कभी भी किसी से भी शेयर नहीं किया. मुझे बहुत खराब लगा कि मैं ऐसा कुछ क्वेश्चन पूछा. तो एक्चुअली गुरु महाराज कुछ भी बता सकते थे जो भी रीजन है, लेकिन गुरु महाराज सिंपली मुझे पता नहीं है. तो इससे मैं मुझे लगा कि एक्चुअली मेरा क्वेश्चन कुछ जस्ट चाइल्डिश है कि ये मेरा कृष्ण भावनामृत के लिए मुझे कुछ एक्चुअली ये कुछ कृष्ण भावनामृत के लिए कुछ इंस्पायरिंग करने वाला नहीं है. मैं जस्ट चाइल्डिश लिए कुछ है. और उसके बाद मुझे लगा कि गुरु महाराज इतने बड़े स्कॉलर है और प्रभुपाद के इतना करीबी शिष्य है और महाराज उनको कृष्ण भावनामृत तत्व के बारे में सब कुछ पता है. फिर भी उस टाइम पे वो बोल्डली मुझे पता नहीं बोल के बोले. तो वो मुझे बहुत अच्छा लगा कि जो महाराज ने आंसर दिया. और सेकंड टाइम मैं गुरु महाराज को इस्कॉन उज्जैन में मिला. तो उस टाइम पर पर्सनली मुझे मिलने के लिए मुझे मौका मिला एक ही बार. तो मैं महाराज से कुछ प्रश्न पूछा, लेकिन सबसे इम्पोर्टेंट मुझे लगा जी कि मैं जब बोला गुरु महाराज चैंटिंग तो मैं करता हूँ लेकिन मन नहीं लगता तो क्या करना है. तो गुरु महाराज बहुत सिंपली आंसर दिए कि मेनी टाइम्स यू मे नॉट लाइक चैंटिंग बट जस्ट चैंट स्लोली यू विल गेट द टेस्ट. ये शब्दों में गुरु महाराज उत्तर दिए थे कि बहुत बार तुमको अच्छा लगे या ना लगे उससे कोई मतलब नहीं है. तुम जस्ट चैंटिंग करते रहो. तो गुरु महाराज का वो वाक्य अभी भी मुझे हमेशा याद दिलाता है कि हमको अच्छा लगे या ना लगे हमको चैंटिंग करते रहना है. लास्टली गुरु महाराज हमेशा तीन चीज फोकस करते हैं जो कि हर एक भक्त को, वो कोई भी हो, स्पेशली इस्कॉन फॉलोअर्स, उनको उनके लिए बहुत इम्पोर्टेंट है. गुरु महाराज हमेशा स्ट्रेस रहते हैं ये तीन चीज के लिए. तो पहला है श्रील प्रभुपाद इज द फाउंडर आचार्य और सेकेंड वन जीबीसी इज द अल्टीमेट मैनेजिंग अथॉरिटी और थर्डली नेवर लीव इस्कॉन. तो ये तीन चीज हर एक भक्त के लिए बहुत इम्पोर्टेंट है, क्योंकि ये तीन चीज में से कोई भी एक चीज भी भक्त के लिए बहुत तकलीफ ला सकती है उनका भक्तिमय जीवन में. हमेशा गुरु महाराज स्ट्रेस देते थे कि श्रील प्रभुपाद फाउंडर आचार्य है, उनका पोजीशन जो है हमेशा वैसे हम आगे बढ़ाना है. जैसे जैसे जनरेशन आगे आगे जाएगा उनका पोजीशन जो है हमेशा फाउंडर आचार्य रहना है. और जीबीसी को हमेशा फॉलो करना है, वो जो कोई भी हो. गुरु महाराज के पास बहुत सारे इश्यूज आते थे जैसे कि हम सब जानते हैं इस्कॉन में, लेकिन हमेशा गुरु महाराज कहते थे फॉलो योर टेम्पल अथॉरिटी, फॉलो योर अथॉरिटी, फॉलो जीबीसी. तो ये तीन चीज हमको हमेशा हमारे मन में रखना चाहिए और फॉलो करना चाहिए. थैंक यू गुरु, थैंक यू सो मच.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. It was really amazing. Actually, I mean, Prabhuji said that he has had only two interactions with Maharaj, but such profound interactions, at least I felt that way. I mean, this is something really amazing. The first interaction that he shared really touched my heart, actually. For such a one of the senior most disciples of, not senior most disciples of Srila Prabhupada, but one of the senior sannyasis in such a important position, sitting on the Vyasasana in front of thousands of disciples and other devotees, when a question is asked, to have the humility to frankly admit, yes, I do not know, it speaks actually volumes. And Radhajivan Prabhu so wonderfully shared, which I really liked, is that when he answered this, I really liked this answer, he said. So this was really wonderful. I really liked it, because why can't we just be frank? You know, I don't know. And it was such wonderful thing. Actually, I really liked it. And the second interaction was also very much profound, simple but profound. Japa mein man nahi lag raha hai. And he said, man lage ya na lage, karte raho. This is what is Srila Rupa Goswami's instruction. Adarad anudinam kalusaiva vikramad bhavati. Whether we, taste will definitely not be there in the beginning stages, but gradually if we continue doing it, then over a period of time, taste will come. And the third was the most profound of all, where Bhakti Charu Maharaj's emphasis on these three most foundational things, and they are so foundational that practically most of the problems in ISKCON are because of not following these three things, actually. One is Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya, ever. Always, he will always remain the founder Acharya of ISKCON. GBC is the managing authority, and at whatever cost, don't leave ISKCON. Amazing. Thank you very much, Prabhu. It was so wonderful. You shared a few things, but they were so profound and touching. Okay, so next, who else would like to share about your personal interactions with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj? You might want to share a few things that you have heard from others. That's fine, but we will purely stick to certain personal interactions if you have had. Anyone would like to share, you can please raise your hands before we move on to discussing about Srila Sanatan Goswami. Anyone would like to share about your personal interactions with Maharaj? Anyone? Yes, Madhumati Priya Sakhi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes,
am I audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Namo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhavale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavade Pashyashade Shravane. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for an opportunity to glorify Bhakti Charu Maharaj. This is Tirubhav Tiri here in India, but I'm here in Australia. It's like tomorrow, Guru Purnima and everything tomorrow, but it's so nice to have his meditation. I'll share a few instances from our association with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj that we felt so inspired with as a family. So he's like great compassion, his qualities of great compassion, love and caring attitude, and how he struggled to establish Prabhupada's legacy in his personal association. So it was in 2013 January. It was a summer time in Australia here. And we had a program in Sydney. Disciples organized a program in a cruise ship. A 4 hours in a cruise around the area of Darling Harbour, Opera House, and around the area, 4 hours cruise with Maharaj and all his well wishers and the devotees and Maharaj to give some kirtans and classes and everything. So we all were there in Adelaide before, and we all flew to Sydney for this, to be with Maharaj. And that was the first time. We saw Maharaj many times, but that was the first time we had some personal association with him. So, yeah, we first he started with a beautiful kirtan with Sri Prahlad. And then after that, he was asking the audience, like, what would you like? Audience choice. So, of course, everyone said, like, you know, Gopi Geet, because Maharaj is very famous for singing sweet Gopi Geet. At that time, my daughter was around three and a half years old. He was singing, when he was singing Gopi Geet, so sweet and so intense. All the children, including my daughter, all sat down and they fully absorbed. They were stopped playing. And, we have heard like his Gopi Geet in many audio tapes and everything, but never in person. Like, he was so relishing each and every words and singing. And then later on, the meaning and translation, it was very mind-blowing. From that day onwards, like, you know, my daughter, his name is Shaka, she always listens to, in the night, she always listens, like, you know, can you, I wanted to listen to Maharaj Gopi Geet. Like, every night she used to listen to Gopi Geet. And then a few years back when he passed away, when we said like he passed away, her first comment was, oh, who will sing Gopi Geet like, you know, him, like it's such a sweet. So he not only covered, like children also so attracted by his kirtan. And after the kirtan, everyone like was in the boat, like in the cruise, like we were in the deck open area. We all came down and it was a very bright day, very bright and sunny day with the clear blue skies. And so, you know, Maharaj also came, and then he immediately approached us and saying, I haven't seen you before in Sydney, and where are you from? And then we introduce ourselves, like, as soon as we introduce ourselves, like, we are from, you know, His Holiness Jayapadak Maharaj, immediately he shared his interactions with him to make us more comfortable, like how he used in Ganges, how we were swimming, and he used to go and catch us when we drown, and he's our guardian and all this. And when he was talking to us, like he was saying, where are you staying? Are you staying in a hotel? Are you being looked after? Are you the devotee? Are you getting enough prasadam? So he was so loving and caring. We don't even know him. Like, he doesn't even know us. Like, actually, we know him, like, through it. He's a very great sannyasi. We all know him. But he was so much affectionate, so much caring, as if it was like so many years, like he has been, the interaction was like loving, caring. And I can't believe, you know, they have been very much touched by his care. Like, and then he was saying, can I ask the devotees to look after? I said, no, we are staying in devotee's house. Lo. So, and he said, why don't you come to tomorrow morning to my disciples' wedding after the morning program in the temple? He said, Maharaj, we know we'll come to the morning program, but we do not know the devotees that. So no, you are my guest, and it is my disciple's wedding, and I am inviting you. So it was so personal, we couldn't say no to him. And then it was like as if like we are in Australia for so long, but it's as if like he is not in this area. He's from somewhere else. He's from India, from Bengal. But he came down, and then he kept Sydney as his basis, as if it is his hometown. And we are coming from outside, and he is treating us with so much love. And then after the wedding, he gave a very nice class how the Grihastha Ashram should be and how they should be each other, how they should be affectionate and loving, as well as like putting Krishna in the front and in the middle. And after that classes and everything, we were introduced to, you know, the bride and the groom. And then the bride and the groom, they called us for the home program the next day. I was like, we were taken aback, like, well, how come you are just got married today and tomorrow you're having a home program? And how is it possible to organize? And even though the bride's parents and groom's parents are all there. And he was sharing a wonderful realization, you know, my Guru Maharaj said to me, if you're calling me for the home program under one condition, in the sense like you don't cook anything, you don't cut any vegetables, you don't do anything, just give the house, like, you know, and then you just water. We only want water from your house, nothing else. No, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, we want to serve you. That you don't worry about it. And Maharaj, what he did was Bhakteshwar Maharaj, with his own whatever he collection has, like he went personally with the servants. Bought all the vegetables, the dal, rice, sabjis, all the vegetables, And he himself bought it. And then he himself came with his servants and with a stove, and they organized outside. And then and Maharaj put up the recipe, and they already know cooking there. They put up Bengali, like what type of sabjis you should make. And then there are about 8-10 different type of sabjis they made in 2 hours time. And then he himself gave the instructions how these recipes to be cooked and what way it should be cooked. And he was giving a class that day. It was a Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day. So he gave a nice talk about Bhakti Siddhanta. But by the time they were all cooking, and after that was over, the class was over, he came to serve everyone, including his disciples. Like, you know, we were very embarrassed. Like, you know, how Maharaj, like, we should be serving you. No. This is my feast. This is my site, and I should be doing it. Such a humbleness, such a humility from the great soul. And when we left, each and every devotee like felt there was a very personal interaction with Maharaj. Like they looked after him personally, like each and every one. Like he went to each and every one. How was the feast? Was it enough for you? Did you have enough? Did you eat well? And then did you like it? And it was amazing, like how he cared, like not only his disciples, but all of them who came for the program. 100 people came for the program, and they're all very much connected with Maharaj, and very, very personal interaction, very personal, very sweet. And that's one thing from Sydney. Another one was like in Mayapur, like my husband had, he had experience of, fortunate enough to work with Maharaj, like work under Maharaj, basically. Reporting to Maharaj for a few years just before he passed away. Maharaj used to be a GBC chairman, and my husband worked under him as a GBC treasurer. So yeah, he was guiding him all along. And the Mayapur meetings, like every year it happens in GBC. That time the GBC will be full of all the exalted devotees, like all the His Holiness Radhana Swami would be there, Jayapataka Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj will be there, all the Maharaj's GBC members and all the ministries and everyone will be present in the meeting. And my husband had to prepare a financial statement and then the PowerPoint presentation about what budget we have to allocate to each ministry and how much money has been received so far, with all the temples and calculations and like that. And Maharaj like would guide him like personally, like before even the presentation, long before his presentation, he would ask the presentation and he would read through each and every calculation. He'll understand from him what it is. And then he will come up with, what all the questions they will raise, in the meeting, like because it's a 75 minutes is a presentation and 1 hour will be the question time. And who is going to ask, like, it's a bit of a stressful environment. Who's going to ask which questions? And Maharaj, how do we deal with the questions? And he used to coach him up personally, like, if they ask this question, we can take this. And, at the end, he said, one thing is like, don't worry, Mahamani, whenever he asks you, they ask you some questions and put you on the spot, he just pointed, Maharaj will answer this question. So he never used to give, because as a chairman of GBC, he's not only looking after the treasury. One treasury is just a very minute portion of the, the services. We have like so many other services. Within that services only, my husband used to say, it's a big struggle, it's stress. And so much, the only little part of the service, that way he's not 100% responsible. Maharaj is 100% responsible. And he was carrying out with ease and everything, like, he wouldn't get stressed at all. He's always smiling and humorous. So the day came, when he had to do the presentation, and all the one by one, the presentation finished. The next one is like my husband had to speak, and his name is Mahamani Govindadas. So Magdi Charu Maharaj went, and then the environment was very stressful. Everyone was sitting like, how much is going to allocate to my ministry? Why the other ministry has been allocated more, and all those questions going to come up, and everyone is stressed, and they're going to know what money they're going to get allocated. And they were very much listening to the, very much eager to listen. And then also like pin drop silence. And it was very, very, tensed, you can say. My husband was thinking, how am I going to even speak? Very stressed. And then Maharaj came, Bhakti Chaur Maharaj came, and he said, introduced, like, look, here we go. We have a speaker now, like about the treasury, GBC treasury. And his name is Mahamani Govindadas. He said M-O-N-E-Y, money, the dollars. Like he used his hand like that, like, you know, as if in the counting money. And then everyone started laughing, and, you know, and then our Guru Maharaj was there and he banged at the table and said, ah, you know, Mahamani, like your name. And everyone said, Maharaj, you gave the name, isn't it? Like, isn't it he disciple, your disciple? And they were laughing, and he made the situation so humorous from the, you know, from, it was so tensed, and he made it, and within few seconds, it was, you know, he made the situation so witty and humorous, and it was like, you know, icebreaker, I would say, like, you know, and then the presentation went, like, you know, he could present in a very nice way, and yeah, that was his experience, one of the experience. And another one was also like about like Maharaj was, when there was a very stressful situation in the Prabhupada's, like there are so many court cases going on with the Prabhupada's death, and there were so many controversies happening, and people have put a case against ISKCON. And then with that, like GBC, he asked my husband, you know, look, Mahamani is going to, you know, there is going to be so many cases happening here. I will be needing $25,000 US dollars. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to personally fight against them. I'm going to go to the court and personally fight against these people. Because of this Prabhupada, like how come they can say put a case against? I'm going to win this case. I'm going to give a big lawyer. And then 25,000 money, I'm going to put that in. And then my husband said, why? And then, how are you going to do that? Like, you know, 25,000, I'm going to collect it from, you know, from my well-wishers, from disciples and so on. So he asked, my Prabhu asked, like, why do you want to do that? Because it's a GBC issue. Because this is a case against Prabhupada, case against ISKCON. It's ISKCON's issues, like it's a GBC issue. Why is it like you need to put it in? Why can't the GBC do it? Like, you know, and then he was saying, you know, he never left it to the GBC. He said, he's my Guru Maharaj. I served him, you know, my Prabhupada. I served him in the end of his few days, last days. I was his secretary. And I know Prabhupada didn't say anything like that. Like, you know, I wanted to defend my personal thing to save Prabhupada's legends, you know, Prabhupada's legacy. So, and he personally wanted to fight, and he wanted to put the money in. He refused to collect anything from the GBC. He said, this is my personal thing, my Guru Maharaj. Even though it can be left as, you know, it can be left, he never left it for the GBC. He never did it. So yeah, these wonderful qualities, like, you know, how, you know, witty, like all the Krishna's qualities, like he's humorous, so very compassionate, very caring. He is a very leading sannyasi, but he would care for everyone who came in, you know. It doesn't matter about the position or, you know, or anything, like he gave a full support. Yeah, that those qualities, like, you know, then how he took over the purpose, like very much attracted to us, like, so. Just wanted to share those things, Prabhuji. Yeah, so.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. It was so wonderful. I never knew you had such wonderful interactions with Maharaj. The first instance that you shared, I have heard this from quite a few devotees, that Maharaj's loving and caring personal nature, especially to disciples of his god brothers. I have heard this quite a few times, where Maharaj goes really out of the way to make the disciples of his god brothers feel absolutely at home, and it was such a pleasant. I mean, this is the way actually. You know, many senior devotees have shared that this is the way actually ISKCON can flourish, where there is such wonderful appreciation of, you know, disciples of one's god brothers, and where there is appreciation between god cousins, I mean, as good as one's own god brothers and god sisters. This is so nice to hear this. And also, you know, Maharaj's sensitivity is actually legendary, you know, especially, you know, understanding that how your husband would be so tensed and how he diffused that situation. So wonderful, very sensitive. And of course, the last part that you shared about his guru. he said, you know, it is my Guru Maharaj and I will collect the Lakshmi and fight. Why should I take it from the GBC? That's very nice, very, very wonderful. Thank you very much, Mataji, for sharing. Anyone else who have had some personal interactions with Maharaj who might want to share? Or shall we move ahead to the second part where we are going to glorify Srila Bhakti, Srila Sanatan Goswami? Okay, Red Me, I don't know what your name is. Can you please share your name?
Hare Krishna, Dalvat Pranam. My name is Mohanty Devi Dasi. I'm a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj.
Yes, Maharaj. Well, can you repeat your name? Your name?
My name is Mohini Preeti Devi Das.
Yes, Madhavi, please share with us.
Actually, my introduction to Krishna consciousness came through my younger sister. Her name is Anandini Radharani, who stays in Delhi. Mm-hmm. And close to her are devotees who are disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Charo Maharaj. So they used to have a very, very close interaction with Maharaj. Whenever Maharaj would visit, Maharaj, Bhakti Charo Maharaj would visit Delhi, he would stay in their house. If he had to go to Mayapur, there's from Delhi to anywhere, or from anywhere to Delhi, they would come and Maharaj would come and stay in their house. Her name is Parmeshwari Mataji. So in year, I don't remember the year Srinathji Prabhu left his body. I think that year our yatra was cancelled. I don't know in what connection. So same year, my father and my sister had an interim. Before that, my sister had invited Maharaj to her home for lunch. Because when he was staying with the Parmeshwari Mataji's house, my sister went and she invited Maharaj to her home. My sister called me, she said, Maharaj has agreed to come. Why don't you come from Bombay and be here and help me also and serve Maharaj? So I went from here and Maharaj came. It was as if a loving father, actually that was my first interaction before I met my own spiritual master. It was so intimate that there was no such any feeling that you are. He was, in fact, he said, one time he said, no, I'm not sitting on sofa. I'm sitting down only with all of you. You are sitting down. So much of, so I had that opportunity to serve him. So in that year, when our yatra got cancelled, we were in Delhi at that time. My father was not well. So we had all gone to Delhi to take him to hospital and all. And now he was recovered and Maharaj had again come. We wanted to take our father, but Maharaj had instructed that don't invite too many people because Maharaj had some other commitments. But last moment, Parmeshwari Mataji called. He said, Maharaj is meeting. But it was too late for our father to take him from the bed and make him sit on the wheelchair. But of course, my sister, Anandini Radharani, myself, and our mother, we all three went to Parmeshwari Mataji's house. And there, Maharaj, first of all, seeing us, and he's saying, by that time, we were initiated. And he said, how come you are here? You have not gone for yatra? Because he knew that it was our yatra time. Then we told Maharaj, yatra got cancelled. And immediately, he removed his own garland and put it on my mother himself. That was, I can never forget that moment. And then he said, you know, how is your father? And I said, he's going back. And then after said, why don't you come? I'm going to Vrindavan. He was releasing his book, Ocean of Mercy in Vrindavan. And he invited us and we all went. And it was a 7-day thing. Maharaj, he initiated this, he released his book. And there, when Mataji she was her name was Devi Shakti Mataji, and she was saying that when I was serving Prabhupada in India by Mayapur, and there came one devotee and who started Maharaj, Prabhupada took him in his service, and I was released. And I said, who's this devotee who has taken my service? And then when I saw Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and then I said, he's much, much better than me. Then Maharaj immediately got up and he said, I'm sorry, Mataji, I took your services from Prabhupada, please forgive me. Then Dai Shakti Mataji said, no, Maharaj, it was a really honor to see. But that closeness that Mataji was describing, I don't have that such close interaction, but that interaction, how he said, now that you don't have yatra, please come and join us. I'm just thankful to Prabhupada that giving us such a beautiful Guru Parampara system where we can not only cherish our own Guru Maharajas, but other gurus in our Parampara. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you very much. Yeah, wonderful. Again, the same qualities of simplicity and sensitivity, sensitive dealings. Maharaj is known for his very, very sensitive dealings, very sweet speaking. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya vyasanam chayva vanmayam tapa uchyate. You know, the kind of austerity of speech, if there is a personification of that in the history of ISKCON, probably Maharaj's name would be on the top of the list. So thank you very much for sharing. Okay. Just for your information before we go ahead, please do not worry that, we are spending more time because we have cancelled the Laghu Bhagavatamrita session. Because I am foreseeing that this is going to be a long session. So there will be no Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So we will first complete. We will take one more speaker on His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, and then we will start our glorification of Srila Sanatan Goswami. So we will have an extended session now. It may go on till maybe even 2:30, 3 o'clock. So please be ready. We have cancelled the Laghu Bhagavatamrita session. So we'll have one more speaker on His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, and then we will hear some glorification of Sanatan Goswami. And towards the end, if there are more speakers who might want to share about His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, we will again come back. Okay, one last Krishna Rupa Mataji, you can share.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Sorry, I'm coming after a long time online because of my responsibilities in my house. So my first, meeting with His Holiness Bhaktichar Maharaj was in 2001 in the Vyas Puja of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj at CP Tank, the Gwalior Tank over there in Bombay. So that was the first time I saw him, and Maharaj made him sit on the Vyasasana right next to him. And I was thinking, oh, he must be a very special person that, you know, Maharaj is making him sit next to him. And Maharaj glorified, and Maharaj said that he got, you know, 3 initiations in one go from Srila Prabhupada. And I was like very mesmerized. I said, oh, 3 initiations in one. Prabhuji, were you there in that Vyas Puja that time?
No, okay.
So then Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj glorified Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and I said, oh, he's so close to Srila Prabhupada. I wish I could serve him in some way. That was my first desire, actually, after hearing that glorification that came, because I thought that by serving him, I'll be serving Srila Prabhupada. So then I got this opportunity in 2006 in New Delhi when there was this GBC meeting happening, and there were many sannyasis who were there, and we Matajis were given services for this. So that was the first time that I got to serve him. And in Vrindavan, I think that was 2008, I got to serve him. So one of his instructions that during the Sharanagati time that I heard actually was that you want to become a bigger servant, you need to be the servant of the servants. So to become a bigger leader also, you need to be the servant of the servants. And that was the most striking thing for me at that point of time, that, oh, you know, means to be the servant. Of course, I have heard this statement from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj also many times, to be the servant of the servant, but that came straight from the heart from him. Then in 2009, I got to serve Maharaj very personally when he had come for the Sharanagati seminar in New Delhi. And I had personally actually cooked for him. He liked the Gujarati food that I had prepared. And he told me that, okay, if this could be packed and all. So I got a very wonderful chance to serve Maharaj a couple of times. And I felt that my life is successful by serving such a pure devotee of Srila Prabhupada, who is so dedicated and so humble. And I liked his speech. He was so, in fact, I felt him very motherly when he was speaking. I felt that, oh, how politely he is speaking to every devotee. How humble he is, you know. Even I would love to imbibe these qualities of Maharaj that are there, Prabhuji. So this is only some of my interactions with Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you very much. So very, very wonderful, again, you know, the personal side of Maharaj and his appreciation for his God brothers and the disciples of his God brothers is almost, you can say, legendary in ISKCON, which is really wonderful. So I think we will now move ahead start our glorification of Srila Sanatan Goswami. And towards the end, if there are further speakers who might want to share about His Holiness Bhaktichary Swami Maharaj, we will continue that. So, okay. So devotees can please raise your hands and I'll keep unmuting you. First, Gopinandini Mataji has raised her hands. So please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavatana. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyan Anjana Shalakya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Namaha. First of all, I want to thank you for giving a platform to glorify Sanatan Goswami. It is because of you only I have been able to read this Brihad Bhagavatamrit, and I never thought it would be such a beautiful narration of Sanatan Goswami, which I'll get to read it. So I thank you also for it. And before I start my thing, I would like to offer the prayers which Sanatan Goswami gives it to Srimad Bhagavatam, because this Brihad Bhagavatam is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the way Sanatan Goswami has glorified Brihad Bhagavatam, you can understand, you know, what nectar would be Brihad Bhagavatam from those shlokas itself. So first, let me offer the prayers which he offered as a glorification of Sanatan Goswami. I'm not qualified to speak on him, but whatever with us, someday maybe I will get the qualification like you have taught us. Sarva Shastra Bhi Piyusha, Sarva Vedeka Satvala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokeka Drikpada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kali Dvandodi Daditya, Shri Krishna Parivartita. Paramananda Pathaya Prema Varshe Aksharayate Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute Madeka Bandhu Matsangin Madguru Madmahadana Mat Nistaraka Madbhagya Mat Ananda Namostute Asadu Sadu Dein Adi Nicho Chatakara Hana Muncha Kadachin Mam Premna Hrit Kante Svaha. This is Sanatan Goswami's prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now from this he has taken out the essence, these two books, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 1 and Volume 2. And from Volume 1, I started hearing from the middle of it when you allowed other participants to join. But all the chapters are beautiful, and the way Narad Muni goes from one place to another seeking who is God, receive the highest mercy. But the chapter 6 and 7 are the most wonderful. And in that, I would just like to say some portions of it to glorify Sanatana Goswami, how his he has taken out the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam to show it. And now this is the conversation which Roni Mata is giving. And she's telling about the life of Rajavasis and the beauty of Vrindavan. So this is from the sixth chapter of volume one. So he says, the people in Raja cannot live for a moment without Krishna. When Krishna was behind a tree or something else, his friends would call out, Shri Krishna, with loud sound. Without Krishna, every moment of day and night became like a yuga for the people of Raja. Again and again, they looked for the sun or the pathway of dust or listened for the flute. When during the day, Krishna was protecting the cows in the pasturing ground, the people of Raja anxiously waited for his return. They looked to see how soon the sun would set for the time for Krishna's return. They looked in the distance of signs for dust raised by the cow's hooves, and they listened to the sound of Krishna's flute. Eager to play, he would happily wander with his elder brother, his friends, and the cows through many streets. There are many slender lakes fragrant with lotus flowers moving with the pastimes of many intoxicated water birds, bumblebees. There, the very wonderful Yamuna touches the land of Raja. There are many other rivers like Yamuna gloriously flow from the Vindhya hills and other places. The charming river and the lake shores are filled with the delicate bakula flowers, covered with fresh grass, crowded with many different birds and animals, free from natural feelings of enmity, decorated with many vines, trees and bushes, bowing down with great weight of many splendid fruits, flowers and blossoming twigs, and musical with the sounds of maddened peacocks and cuckoos, the object of Brahma's prayers. In the land of Raja in Vrindavan forest, on the Govardhan hill, places where there are no danger of being killed or stolen, the cows, buffaloes and other animals go in the morning, eat grass and drink water to their heart's content, and then voluntarily return to their homes in the evening. So this was Rohini's observation of Raja when she was in Vrindavan. Now Balramji, when he visited Vrindavan, what did he see? I would like to contrast it with this. Krishna, what can I say about the cows? Everyone in Raja is dear to you. The deer, birds, trees headed by the bandiras and the kadamba vines. Forest doves and even the grass have grown, now given up their lives for your sake. Even the hills and rivers have withered and gone dry. Brother, nourished by the hope that you will keep your promise, a few humans remain alive. You do not wish to hear any more. If you're not kind to them, then death will quickly be kind to them. This was that you remove the poison from the Kalia lake makes them lament bitterly. Now please hear another reason for the lamentation. The Yamuna river has very little water. It is almost dry. Govardhan hill, which you personally held, has become stunted. They do not eat, but because they still drink the nectar of your name, death does not leave them. Their future is a fire in the great dry forest. This was Balramji's observation of Vrindavan when he went to console the Vrajavasis. And how Krishna reconciles these two and gives the reasoning why he did not visit the Vrajavasis. It's beautiful. Another set of verses. Please give me. This is from the seventh chapter of the volume one. Krishna says, if the people of Raja taught it good, I would leave all of you. I swear that at this moment I speak the truth. He's telling it to the queens of Dwaraka. What Brahma said as he offered prayers is not false. I have no power to repay my debt to the people of Raja. I am deeply in their debt. If to please them I go and live with them, I do not see that it will be for their welfare. By seeing me, they will faint, overcome with deep love. They will no longer be aware of themselves, their bodies, or their surroundings. What more can I say? When they see me, they may become free of suffering, but then they will be again overcome with fear of being separated again. In this way, what fate created for their happiness will only double their pain. Because of not seeing me, sometimes they are tortured by the blazing fire of separation, and sometimes they are almost dead with madness. In this way, they are filled with wonderful sweet love. Sometimes they worship the darkness, which is like the color of me. Thinking it is really me, they kiss and embrace it. What woman can I say to describe them? Seeing that my presence and absence are the same, I do not go there. Now, hear the reason why I married you. Now, here Krishna is beautifully telling the Vrajavasis, like Sanatana Goswami is telling, their very existence was an anxiety. So, you know, the Vrajavasis, whether Krishna is there, presently present or not there, they would be in Krishna consciousness only. So this is a beautiful way Sanatan Goswami has presented the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I thought this way, this is my way of glorifying him. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare. Very much for sharing the sections of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which were very touching to your heart. And of course, you know, the sixth and seventh chapter of volume one till now has been, you know, probably those chapters in which we spent maximum time, had such wonderful discussions. And I mean, I would say of all the books that we have discussed till now, in, you know, which is lot of them, those two chapters, I think for practically all of us would stand out, you know, any day. I mean, I don't think even, I mean, I cannot say like that, but then, you know, such wonderful discussions, such deep presentation, especially Sanatan Goswami. Thank you very much for sharing. Yes, next, Dada Pramod Prabhu has raised his hands. Prabhuji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmelitam Men Tasmai Sri Gravina. Here there is Raghunathas Goswami in Vilapa Kushumanjali. He glorifies Sanatan Goswami. This is considered to be the Pranam Mantra of Sanatan Goswami. Vairagya Yuga Bhakti Rasa Prayatnair Apyayan Mama Anabhisham Andam Kripam Buddhar Yah Paradukha Dukki Sanatanastam Prabhum Ashrayam. Raghunathas Goswami says that, glorifying him, he says that he made me drink this Bhakti Rasa, which is mixed with Vairagya, this bitter sweet drink. He made me drink even though I didn't want to because of my blindness. Why he made me drink? Kripam Buddhirya Paradukha Dukki. He could not see the suffering of others, and therefore, filled with compassion, he did this. Therefore, I take shelter of the lotus feet of Sanatan Goswami. This is the glorification he makes. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita is considered the highest, the mature fruit of Sanatan Goswami's study of Srimad Bhagavatam. He got a dream in his teenagers when he was at home in the village, that in the night he get a very effulgent Brahmana. He comes and he gifts something. He was holding tightly to his chest, a bundle. And Sanatan Goswami, he got up and he was waiting whole day. Something should happen today. Something special should happen. And he was waiting, and suddenly there was a knock at the door, and he finds one Brahmana, and he comes and gives him Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, he becomes so ecstatic, and for the rest of life, Sanatan Goswami, he dedicates himself for Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is the, and he writes the first commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Gaudiya Sampradaya's first commentary, on the 10th canto he writes. And after that, Sanatan Goswami, he compiled books. And this is the, after this, now Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this is considered to be essence. Now, this is the interesting how Sanatan Goswami explains this. I will share the screen, Prabhu, that verses.
Yes, Prabhu, I'll give you the, I've made you the co-host, you can share.
Means I am sharing whatever Brihad Bhagavatamrita, so that devotees can just.
Yeah.
Now, from here onwards, Janmaji asked, he wanted to hear the essence. Now, when Sukadeva Goswami, he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence, the ripened fruit of all the Vedic literature. Now, when Janmaji is asking, Yogimida, of course, Janmajaya, first the story starts from Janmajaya when he's asking that, tell me about the Madhurena Samape. He says, I want to have the perfect sweetness, you end it. And we discussed this many times, that how it is the color corollary of Vaishampayana's Mahabharata is Harivamsa, and then this is from Jamini's Mahabharata, and Jamini happened to be a disciple of Vyasdev. But Vyasdev, when he wrote Mahabharata, he wrote for a different purpose. He wrote for Stri, Vijayabandhus and Vaishyas and other. And when Janmajaya, he had a different purpose, Jamini. And when Janmajaya heard from Jamini, he said, I am feeling so ecstatic. I want more essence. I want to complete its sweetness. Then he explains how Parikshit Maharaj, and this happened to be Pandavas rule for 36 years. It was 3100 BC. And after that, Parikshit Maharaj ruled for 60 years. And this this discussion that is happening with the Srimad Bhagavatam, this pastime that is happening, which we are discussing, is 3042 BC. This is exactly the year. And after 7 days of hearing, so this is Jamini still to Janmajaya. After 7 days, when Parikshit, this is an interesting incident. Now Parikshit Maharaj is sitting on the bank of Yamuna after listening. And he goes to a seclusion and he silently sits there. And then Mother Uttara runs coming to him and she says, now I want to hear. I want to hear the essence. Now, for Parikshit Maharaj, immediately if you see the next shloka, he says that by hearing the instructions, Sriman Parikshit was relieved of all fear. This is the first thing. When you hear Bhagavatam, you will be free from fear because you are completely full. All his ambition satisfied. He was absorbed in pure love of Krishna. Now at the time came near for the king to ascend. His mother comes, who is a very great devotee, approaches him, and Parikshit Maharaj consoles and asks. Now Sanatan Goswami has to prove that Brihadbhagavatamrita is essence of essence. So that is a challenge for him first. Because already Vedas are considered to be the essence of all knowledge. And essence of all knowledge Vedas, the essence is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is essence of already essence. And then further, Uttara comes and asks, you tell me the, please extract the essence of what Sukadev Goswami. So you have to give essence of essence. Now, Sanatan Goswami says, Bhagavatam is Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam. He writes that shloka also in his commentary. And feeling affectionate for his mother, he answers in a respectful way. And he also says that, this shloka he quotes in the Nigama Kalpataror, it is already the essence. How can you get the essence from the essence? And he gives very nice answer. He says that for getting the essence, you need not again study the Vedas because already this essence is already fallen. This fruit is already fallen. You just have to go to Bhagavatam. But he says that there are some parts in Srimad Bhagavatam also which are not needed. Who don't need it? When you go to a very higher level. Now, for Sukadev Goswami to tell to Parikshit Maharaj, if you ask what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, we say normally who are read Bhagavatam, they say yes, 10th canto and that 5 Rasa Panchadhyaya. That is directly. But to tell that, Sukadev Goswami explained in a very so many other things, and in the end he brought Parikshit Maharaj there. Now for Parikshit Maharaj to tell to his mother the essence, he also want to tell, but what he does, he takes little shortcut. He gives in a little more easy way, and then he explains this. So in that way, this is a very special book. And here Sanatan Goswami, how he deals with this issue of Nigama Kalpataru, he tells his essence, but he says there are some special people who are in a higher rasa. And of course, here in the purport also we are discussed that we should not imitate them. So, but pure devotees sometimes consider the passages not directly describing those intimate glories less important. The self-realized Vaishnavas must be allowed their preferences, but neophyte devotees should not cheaply imitate them. So we should not cheaply imitate. This is the essence of all. And Sanatan Goswami, he very nicely describes all the with proper insights, especially the insights of Sanatan Goswami are what makes the book more sweet. If you just read the shlokas and translations, we may not be able to get that much relish. And this is because of Sanatan Goswami's revelations, we are able to understand the essence of all the essence. Even Bhagavatam, just reading every shloka is complete. And in that Brihat Bhagavatamrita, how Sanatan Goswami is revealing this topmost secret, it is such a great. Anybody who is reading, they are already getting. And we can see the essence when they reach, like all of us, what Prabhuji was telling, the last chapters where we felt the difference when we are reading that chapters. We said, oh, we are getting something special. And there is nothing to read after that. That is the highest. And to give that, this is there. And Sanatan Goswami, he did a thorough job with all his realizations. And this is the empowerment of Lord. And he is coming to teach us these wonderful things. So this is what I felt, how we are getting the essence of all essence, Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is also like, after the cream, you cannot remove anything from cream. But still he could remove and he could give it. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, very nicely you established how Srila Sanatan Goswami is the perfect Rajahamsa, Paramahamsa, who has the capacity, essence of the essence of the essence, how Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas, and the essence of even Srimad Bhagavatam is extracted in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Thank you very much for sharing your appreciation. So next we will hear from Adi Bhagavan Prabhu. Please go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Your voice is not audible, Prabhu. At least it's not audible to me.
Is it coming, Prabhuji, now? Is it audible?
Yeah, now it's much better.
Is it better? Okay, I'm keeping mouthpiece near. Okay. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshu Shunyavadi Paschata Deshtarine. Thank you, Prabhuji, for all the long days and years, almost 1 year, as you shared yesterday, of association of all the devotees. So I wanted to thank all the devotees actually in this forum, and especially you also, Prabhuji, for creating this association where we are trying to somehow, once our Krishna Naam Prabhu, if I'm not wrong, Prabhuji shared very nicely, we are trying to lick the honey bottle from outside.
Yeah, Kalanidhi Prabhu.
Kalanidhi Prabhu. Okay, Kalanidhi Prabhu had shared, we are trying to lick the bottle from outside, but still it is so sweet, and we are hankering all for it, and we are enjoying it, licking from outside. So creating such association of devotees where we are just trying to reach to the level of what the gopis are experiencing, and we are just having that goal focused, which is also given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'm very, very thankful to all the devotees, and also for this opportunity to share something about Sanatan Goswami. So I wanted to share a section, as already it is shared from the sixth chapter, and Radha Pramod Prabhu also shared from other sections. So I wanted to share something, Prabhuji, which really touched my heart from the seventh chapter. We had a lot of discussion. I don't know if many devotees remember the 108th session it was. Yes, Prabhuji, you remember, Prabhuji, 108th session. It was Ekadashi, and it was a session where we had very long discussion on the one or two verses specific to seventh chapter. Yeah, so in that, I wanted to share, Prabhuji, something from that section. But before I go to that, I wanted to share something from the first chapter, which is Sanatan Goswami sharing. In the few verses, he is describing how he came about to write this book, actually, and how it was revealed. So he is offering his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, and glorifying Mother Yamuna, glorifying Govardhan, glorifying holy name, all the glorifications he gives in the first few verses. Mathura, he glorifies also. And then one particular verse which I wanted to just share, where he is glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. So this is 11th verse, Prabhuji, first chapter. He says, this book is the conclusion of the scriptures which teach bhakti to the Lord. A conclusion which was realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his dear devotee Sri Rupa. So in his commentary also, as translated by Bhanu Swami Maharaj, he says that this work is a compilation of the conclusion of scriptures related to bhakti directed to the Lord. As Radha Pramod Prabhu also shared, how it is essence of the essence of the essence. So here Sanatana Goswami himself is writing that by this statement it is understood the author does not show boldness of creating his own work and shows its authoritative nature. It is a compilation, since it sometimes brings together various verses, sometimes various phrases, and sometimes various meanings of scriptures in a poetic form. So that's what he shares about this book. And in the later part of the purport, he is explaining why is it so and how it was revealed to him, what is the process of such revelation. So that was quite heart touching, which is worth of, I think, meditation for me and other devotees also. So he says, how is it possible to make a compilation? Since it is difficult to bring together in one place many bhakti scriptures and it is difficult to discern their meanings? So in answer to this, Sanatana Goswami says, the conclusion or essence was directly realized by internal and external senses in Vasudeva, the presiding deity of consciousness, through the dearest form, Krishna, that threefold bending form playing his flute. This means that by meditation and service to Krishna, the conclusions were realized. When Krishna dwelling within and possessing natural causeless mercy manifests himself by his mercy through meditation and other devotional processes, everything becomes revealed. So this was very, very heart-touching, Prabhuji, for me, that how Sanatana Goswami is telling the process, how it was revealed to him, because the shlokas as well as the commentary, both are his contributions for us. So, and in conclusion, he says that the conclusions were realized in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through that golden form in the dress of a sannyasi or through his dear Rupa Goswami. So out of so much humility, even though Rupa Goswami be his younger brother, but he is realizing his position as directly had realized it under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says that since the conclusions were realized by the mercy of the Lord, it was not difficult to compile them. So he appreciates Rupa Goswami also in this beginning verse where he shares. So this was the initial section, Prabhuji, which I wanted to share. And then from the 7th chapter, one specific part which was quite heart-touching for me, and it was really a change in paradigm for me, and really it was a change of understanding of my Krishna consciousness about Krishna and dealings with the gopis. Because previous to this section, before I read, Prabhuji, actually I used to feel that, and always had this question, why Krishna actually gave so much trouble to gopis, and then he never went to actually Vrindavan again after that. After the first 11 years he was there, and I thought actually Krishna is just enjoying in Dwarka and with other devotees, and he is not actually doing justice with Vrajavasis actually. And he is maybe sending some people in between like Uddhava and others, but actually he is not really thinking about them. And it seems that he is quite a kind of mean person. He is not going there at all. And although he has promised, and he knows that they are suffering. And I used to think earlier that Prabhuji, actually by this Krishna wants to show actually how the gopis are great devotees, that even though I don't go and I break my promise, but still they are able to love me and they always remember me and they are trying to forget me. By showing all these things, actually we should learn that actually gopis are the greatest devotees. In that sense, I used to feel it. But here Sanatana Goswami, when he revealed, Prabhuji, that what is actually going on within the mind of Krishna, obviously through the expedition of Narad Muni, but it was really a great relief for me also to understand Krishna's heart, actually, because I had never understood Krishna's heart in this way earlier, before Sanatana Goswami actually revealed through the verses like 93 onwards on the 7th chapter. So I will read one or two translations and important part of the comments. So he says 93rd was that praise offered, sorry, not 93rd, 94th. But even if for their pleasure I were to return to live with them, I don't see how that would benefit. And he says in the comments, just going there will not produce happiness. Or I do not understand how I will be able to produce happiness. Like that Krishna is thinking in his mind. So Sanatana Goswami is revealing the mind, and in his commentary also he has given many, many examples for us to understand actually what way we should understand it. Like if we remember, he gave one example that the burning of fire is one thing, but the burning of the ice is another thing. So even though, as we have been discussing in the classes, it's like very, very difficult for us to understand actually what is going on inside the minds of gopis and Krishna. But through the examples which Sanatana Goswami was trying to give, he was really trying to make us understand it is not what you are actually thinking about. It's not something material, emotions. It is something very, very beyond. And to give us an understanding, he gives very beautiful examples. Like I shared, fire also burns and the ice also burns when it is touched to the skin. So that was really amazing insight. Like that he gave 3-4 insights in which he shares. Another place he shares, Prabhuji, that 96th verse, he says that, so their pain won't be relieved even if they see me. Their hearts will be so disturbed by thoughts of separation from me that whatever measures I take for their happiness will only double their grief. And in commentary, he says that since they have intense grief, even if they see me, they will not immediately return to normal condition because they will worry that there will be future separation. They will again become unconscious. This I had never actually understood it earlier in this way, that gopis would be feeling so much of separation after Krishna, thinking that Krishna will leave again. Actually, that was really nice thing which Sanatana Goswami revealed to all of us. And he says that whatever arrangements, sweet pastimes I made for the happiness of the people of Raja or gopis, immediately upon being made doubled their grief. And he says that one example, he says that that example of oil he gave, that it will be like oil like put in fire directly. Exactly what is shared, just 1 minute, really. Reference I'm not getting, but he said that example, that it will be like if one sprinkles water on hot oil. He says that an example may be given in order to reduce the heat. If one sprinkles water on hot oil, fire bursts forth. So he's trying to make us understand so much that what is going on within and how we are actually really struggling to understand, and he's trying to cope up for us actually. So these are the things which made me really feel so much connected to the Sanatana Goswami commentaries and also to the personality of Krishna and the personality of gopis and all the previous characters which were there in the first 6 chapters. We could connect them so much, how they are glorifying each other and sending Narad Muni to next character and the next character. And it was really very amazing journey project till now. So thank you very, very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Adi Bhagwan Prabhu, sharing. So again, you brought out this point of how Sanatana Goswami is so expert. And then very powerful point that you shared was Srila Sanatana Goswami explaining the process of revelation, how actually it happens, you know, which is very important when we talk about writing commentaries, how revelation is a very integral part. And with so much humility, he also presents that, you know, this was revealed and also revealed through his own younger brother, Srila Rupa Goswami. And so this was a very, very important aspect that you shared. I really wish to express my gratitude And another thing which you really presented very nicely was, of course, who will not speak about the last two chapters that we discussed, you know. So where Krishna's heart was progressively so beautifully revealed through the text itself, but more so through the explanations of Srila Sanatana Goswami, where he described the actual nature of the separation felt by the gopis, the exalted nature of their love, and also the exalted nature of Krishna, you know, through this amazing, even I really, really appreciated the examples of Srila Sanatana Goswami, you know, like you shared two of those examples of, you know, the difference between the burning of fire and the burning of ice, and also sprinkling of water on hot oil to cool it down only makes the fires to burst forth, you know. So describing the kind of viraha felt by the Vrajavasis, so beautiful. And as you rightly concluded, that the way Brihad Bhagavatamrita portrays, but more so through the insights of philosophy, we practically developed such a wonderful attraction for not only Krishna, but all the characters of Brihad Bhagavatamrita through this journey of Sri Narada Muni, which I think practically all of us would definitely agree that our attraction for all these personalities, for most of these personalities, was never there. And even if it was there, it got significantly enhanced through the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami. So thank you very much for sharing. I would like to request Kalanidhi Prabhu to share his thoughts, his appreciation. Over to you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurubhinatam Janatasmai Shri Gurudev. Hare Krishna, Balaram Shakti Prabhu, Dhandavat Pranam. I really feel that I am such a misfit here. I will just explain very briefly, because I read books in a different way. The last 20 years that I have been in Krishna consciousness, my way of reading books has not changed. Once I open a book, I should finish it. And then I close it and keep it aside and then move on to the next book. The only book that I have read and reread is Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which I continue to do till this day. But all other books, I just relish them, and I really don't know, if you ask me, what did I relish in that book. This is the way I have been always. And Brihad Bhagavatamritam is one of those books which I also read from cover to cover. Incidentally, even our own Guru Maharaj's journey home, I bought it from Chaupati. I started reading it on the way to the airport. All through the flight, I read it. I went to my house, continued to read it, and I finished the book and closed it. That's all. So, for the first time in my life, I am seeing an intensive study of a book. So, you open one shloka, and I am thinking, what will be in the next shloka? But you chain me down, and you make me wait, listen, go deep and get this nectar. And that I relished it so completely. But then, unfortunately, because of my past nature or whatever, I was once again pulled out of this. So many sessions I have missed. Even though I was relishing it thoroughly, many of the sessions I missed. I think that is the punishment for my past misbehavior with all these glorious scriptures. I really feel sorry that I have not gone deeper and I have not found an association where I can do it also. All the time I have been reading my books alone, and all these collections, whatever I have. If you ask me, what is the highlight of this book? What is the best part of it? What did you learn from this? I won't be able to say anything. Whatever I am today is a composite of whatever I have picked up from various books, but I still will not be able to ascribe any credits for this book or this particular shloka, etc. Whereas when I listen to all the participants in this group, how they participate, how they are so active, how they are relishing to connect one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, I am simply amazed. I am extremely grateful to the Lord, and especially to Balaram Shakti Prabhu for giving me this opportunity. Literally calling me again and again, please Prabhu, come join. Who will give such a mercy? I really cannot visualize. So I take this message that going forward, I should be able to dive deeper and collect the pearls from the depth of these scriptures. It is not that you just read it for a kind of like a racy novel. You just relish it and then move on to the next book. So this is my understanding. And again, you notice that I am talking about myself. This is what I am. Because I have such a Mayavadi background, if you ask me to talk, I will only talk about myself. I won't be able to talk about other things. So one thing I can say, after I started listening to these classes with you, Balaram Shakti Prabhu, that this Brihat Bhagavatamritam, and the way Chaitanya Sanatan Goswami explains the relationship between the Lord and his devotees, or devotees and other devotees, something is happening to me. That I realized when we have a group of devotees, we go temple to temple and perform kirtans. We take permissions and then go on in groups, we perform kirtan. Mostly they are Sri Vaishnava temples. So in that way, last week also we went to one Sri Vaishnava temple in Chennai, in a place called Nerkundram. There is a Karivarada Perumal temple, and they were having the Brahmotsavam. And the day we went was the last day of the Brahmotsavam. They bring down the flag, and we observed all these festivities, and while we were also singing the kirtan and all. So at the end of it, some 20-30 youths, they picked up, you know, the Lord's palanquin. The Lord is standing on the palanquin, very richly decorated with ornaments and beautiful, beautiful flowers. The Lord is standing with a smiling countenance, and they just picked up this the two rods supporting the palanquin, and they started going in circumambulation of the temple. And then the Matajis are standing, you know, they are doing kolatam and they are dancing and so many things. And then the Nadaswaram fellow was playing some special tunes. And then these boys were dancing with the deity on the palanquin. And I saw, and I don't know what happened. I really felt ecstasy for the first time. I could see that not that the devotees were carrying the Lord, I felt the Lord was making everything happen. You know, like we talk about Rath Yatra, when the Lord is coming out on the chariot, actually the Lord is immobile with his eyes wide open, and he is simply a toy in the hands of people who are carrying him. So that is one way of seeing it. But the other way of seeing is the Lord, who apparently is not doing anything, but he is the prime mover of whatever is happening around him. The people who are singing, the people who are dancing, the people who are carrying the palanquin, the people who are making it move in so many amazing ways. You know, at one point of time, they played the Mahudi. Mahudi means the snake charmer's tune. And the deities were dancing like that, almost like a snake. The Lord was dancing, coming forth and back and side by side, waving. And suddenly, they lifted him up on the tip of the fingers. The Lord went all the way up. So, all these things, I thought, I am relishing it now. I am forgetting myself watching this only because I have been listening to you. This is the realization I got. Usually what happens to me when I watch these things, my mind gets distracted. I start thinking about various other things. But because Sanatana Goswami has again and again in Brihat Bhagavatamritam talks about the mind of the devotee, the mind of the Lord, the mind of the devotees when they interact with one another, that going deeper and deeper, not into the externals, but what is going on inside, that gives you I don't know, even a stone-like heart that I have. I have been always a Mayavadi. I don't know whether some of the things I can say in this forum, because such an exalted forum where you are relishing the Lord and the devotees and the amazing qualities of bhakti. Anyway, I have been such a Mayavadi that I didn't really care whether Lord has a form or not a form. At one point of time, when I first was reading Brihat Bhagavatamritam, I thought, okay, maybe it's a story of fiction. But anyway, it's so relishable. That was my nature. But when Balaram Shakti Prabhu taught us how we should approach this, what is a revelation, Sanatana Goswami is giving a revelation, which is not accessible to you from what Jaimini Rishi has written from the original sloka. But these are revelations. We are not supposed to imagine. When we do something, it becomes mental speculation. We are not supposed to do. But when something like that is coming from a source like Sanatana Goswami, then that we have to understand it as a revelation. And it is a special blessing given to us to understand the scripture in greater depth. So all these things have been working on me. Even though I have been such a flippant, casual, almost unworthy participant in all these discussions. But honestly, I am saying it is working on me also. Haribo. It is changing my nature. It is helping me to relish bhakti, relish devotee association in a much better way. So thank you all for giving me this opportunity to be part of this group. Going forward, I hope I will become more and more regular in joining and relishing these discussions along with you. I sincerely request you to pray for me that whatever vestiges of bad association I have had in my present life or in past lives, let them all fall away. Let me become a more and more surrendered person to the lotus feet of the amazing Vaishnavas like our Sambandha Acharya, Sanatana Goswami. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Actually, I have to honestly share something. This is not one or two, but many devotees have shared with me that since that time, Kalandi Prabhu joined the session, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita sessions have... This is something honestly I'm sharing, and those of you who have shared this opinion with me, you know the truth, because, you know, whatever out of Prabhuji's humility he has shared, but we all know what kind of a deep person that he is. Generally he is not a person who would share, you know. I was wondering, this is so non-Kalanidhi Prabhu like, because when he was sharing about his experience in the temple, I was wondering, what does this have to do with the glorification of Sanatana Goswami? But I knew for sure that that there is something, because I knew Kalanidhi Prabhu, at least I think I know at least a little bit. So there must be something very deep. So I was careful listening, and then he dropped the bombshell at the end, you know, like how the effect of hearing from Srila Sanatana Goswami, the effect of hearing Brihad Bhagavatamrita had such a deep impact that, you know, he, for the first time, he was actually relishing activities in connection with the Supreme Lord. Of course, that was a very humble statement, but definitely he shares that the degree of appreciation of activities connected with the Supreme Lord started making much more deeper impact, and it started catching his attention and absorption much more. And he's ascribing that to, studying Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So very wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Wonderful to experience, and your practical experience of hearing, you know, this is Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasyata Sharat. This is the effect of hearing from Sanatana Goswami, personalities like Srila Sanatana Goswami, that you know, all our misgivings, traces of our misgivings get dissolved. While we don't even realize it. So thank you very much for sharing. I am very grateful. Okay, who would like to share next? Can you please? And before I would like to share again, we have cancelled the Laghu Bhagavatamrita session. So please do not worry. We are going to have an extended session of Brihad Bhagavatamrita on the special occasion of Guru Purnima. So please stay back and relish the appreciation of Sanatana Goswami by various devotees. They have very deeply had a very long association with Srila Sanatana Goswami through Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So please stay back and relish their appreciation of Srila Sanatana Goswami. There is no Laghu Bhagavatamrita, so the session will continue for longer time, maybe till 2:30, 3 o'clock. So please stay back if it's possible for you. This is my kind request. Okay. Who would like to share next? You can please raise your hands and I'll unmute you. I'm sure at least a few of you would like to share. So please raise your hands. Who would like to share? Okay, Arpita Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Are you able to hear me? Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Ah, yes, Mataji.
Yes, I'm very sorry. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So I would first like to express my gratitude to you, Prabhuji, because you are giving us this platform where we are able to connect to Srila Sanatan Goswami and our other acharyas. Before connecting to you, I didn't know any of our acharyas. I didn't know their glories. And after connecting to you only, I'm now I am understanding the glories of our acharyas, and I'm understanding that how they are so special and how things are revealed to them because of their exalted positions. And it is not that they give some interpretation or anything. So whatever they say and whatever they write, everything is so valuable because it is a revelation to them directly coming from Krishna. So this understanding has come through you only, and so much I can say, but I will keep that for some other day. But actually, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, since everyone shared, all the devotees shared, so I definitely feel I am not qualified at all to be in this association of such nice, sincere devotees, and to be in your association, Prabhuji, and to be in the association of such devotees, and to be able to hear such scriptures, definitely it is so much, I'm able to see it is definitely Lord's mercy on me. It is something which I don't deserve. But so I'm very grateful for this, and I will try to reciprocate with it. So by regularly trying to attend the classes attentively. Okay. So Prabhuji, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, as already I was expecting devotees that they will be sharing from 6th and 7th, because that those are the most important chapters. I will not be sharing from there, because I thought senior devotees will share from there. So Prabhuji, can you please make me co-host so I can share? Yes, thank you, Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, are you able to see my screen? Yes, you can see.
Yes,
now.
Mataji. Yeah.
Okay. So I will just try. I just tried very briefly because I felt one day time that too. One day I had to do samrishit for Lagu Bhaktamrita also. So it was I had very less time, so I could not actually prepare. But still, in that much time, whatever little I tried to really those purports of Srila Sanatan Goswami, which I remembered, which were there in my memory, I tried to understand that. So the first thing which I would like from the volume one. So volume one, I just took one thing. So it is this, that Srila Sanatan Goswami is talking about the devotees, means when, first of all, I never knew that Brihad Bhagavatamrita was a book revealed to Srila Sanatan Goswami. I always thought that this book he must have written himself. But Prabhuji explained this very nicely, that it is a revelation to him. And how Brihad Bhagavatamrita is such a great book for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas because it shares the mood of the Vrajvasis and it talks about their mood. How what is the mood of the Vrajvasis? The greatness of their love and the greatness of Sri Vrindavan, the greatness of Vraja Krishna, but especially the mood of the devotees of Lord. So now we were seeing that when Narad Muni went to Pandavas, so Pandavas, they have received so much mercy of Lord, they have received so much association of Lord, but when Narad Muni goes to Pandavas and he glorifies them, then one by one they all are not accepting the glorification and they all are telling, no, Krishna does not love us. And Bhima says that, no, he's just a cheat. He knows how to cheat everyone. And Arjuna says that, oh, he just spoke Gita in order to make me a fool like that. And then like that, all the Pandavas are complaining one by one. Then Kunti Maharani, Draupadi, they all. So it might, for me, it might seem they have received so much mercy and they should be grateful. Why are they complaining like that? But then Srila Sanatan Goswami in the purport to 1.5.82, when before Kunti Maharani begins to speak, Srila Sanatan Goswami is saying that that Kunti is a transcendental soul and blessed with the full mercy of Krishna. So she is a transcendental soul blessed with the full mercy of Krishna, and this is the truth no matter what she says. So the excessive separation Vipralamba Bhav impelled her to complain sorrowfully as if an ordinary woman. Parikshit Maharaj qualifies his description here by saying Sokartha Iva, as if lamenting, to help clarify the real situation. So after this, Kunti Maharani, she will reject that she has not received Krishna's mercy and all, and she will complain that people are crying because of the war and all those things she will say against Krishna. But before that, only Sanatan Goswami has prepared our consciousness. So Sanatan Goswami has prepared our consciousness and he says that, she might be complaining. She might be saying against Krishna many things. But what is the truth? You should understand that she loves Krishna very much. Krishna's darshan is life for her. And therefore, in that Vipralamba Bhav, she is complaining as an ordinary woman. But she is not ordinary. She is transcendental. So this one thing, that we cannot understand the behavior and the emotions of perfected devotees. And Prabhuji many times during these classes also reminded us that we should not see their emotions as ours. We were constantly reminded of this thing, that the emotions those devotees are facing, those emotions are not like ours. So Sanatan Goswami actually prepared our consciousness, and Prabhuji called this purport as the Paribhasha Sutra of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Vedanta Shakti Prabhuji said that this purport we should always keep in mind, because now everyone will, all the devotees will say something. So we saw that how Rohini, how Balramji, everyone are telling against Krishna like that. But and the Vrajvasis also, so we will feel like that, but even their emotions and everything is spiritual. It is not born out of three modes. So this is one example. And then another example was in the sixth chapter, then Uddhav. It is that Uddhav felt sattvic jealousy when he saw the love of the gopis. He felt sattvic jealousy. So matsarya, he felt sattvic matsarya. So when we heard that, so we will think that matsarya, envy, how is envy there in the spiritual world? But then Srila Sanatan Goswami glorified that this transcendental jealousy, however, was sattvic. born from pure goodness, untouched by the influence of passion and ignorance. Therefore, it was a cause of joy. So, even though it's the same, names are the same, it's the jealousy only, but still, it's actually born of pure goodness. And it is the cause of joy and not the cause of lamentation, as in the material world. So, similarly, we saw having no trace of hatred, this ecstatic jealousy. So, this jealousy that Uddhav is feeling when he sees the love of the gopis, it is ecstatic. It is this ecstatic jealousy gave no distress to Uddhav or anyone else. Rather, in this jealousy, he entered even deeper into the trance of his attraction to Krishna. So, this is born of pure goodness, this jealousy. And then similarly, we saw that how Satyabhama is feeling envious when she sees Krishna's love towards the gopis and she becomes angry like that. But then it is clarified, Vishala Sanatan Goswami, that anger and that jealousy is just for the pleasure of Krishna. Actually, it is transcendental. It is only and only for the pleasure of Krishna. And then similarly, when we saw that the Vrajavasis are actually feeling pain in separation of Krishna, and we all were thinking that, oh, Vrajavasis are so much in pain. Why Krishna had to do it? Why couldn't Krishna expand himself and be in Vraja? So all the devotees, when we were hearing, we all had these questions. We were asking Prabhuji also. But then we gradually got to know that actually that separation, that pain, which we were thinking to be pain, is actually not pain. It is ecstasy. That is not suffering. That is ecstasy of Vipralamba Bhav. So Prabhuji gave this very nice example that, see, we have bitter gourd. So that, and then we have one bitter gourd, which is actually not bitter gourd. It is made of sugar candy, but it is painted green in color and it has the shape of a bitter gourd. So it looks like a bitter gourd. But when we eat it, it will be very sweet. So similarly, the pain and the emotions of the Vrajavasis, that they are, it looks like, oh, they are so much in pain. They are so much suffering. How much pain they have to go through because of Krishna, like that. But actually, they are ecstatic. They are very, very happy. They are enjoying transcendental pleasure. That was revealed to me through Sri Brihad Bhaktamrit, Sushila Sanatan Goswami, and through Prabhuji. This very nice understanding that how spiritual emotions and material emotions, they are so different, so different. Though they might look the same, but they are different, completely different. And we should never try to understand the behavior, the actions of the exalted devotees, because we cannot understand that, because their behavior and their emotions are born out of prema and they are not born out of three modes. So this is one. And then I will move to second chapter. So this is second volume. Second volume, Sanatan Goswami clearly says that chanting is a personal service to Lord and it is most excellent of all sadhanas. So when we saw that when Gopu Kumar, he had left his chanting and then he just wanted to render personal service to Lord Jagannath. But what happens, his guru comes and his guru tells him that don't leave chanting, continue to chant. And then Srila Sanatan Goswami tells in the purport that he is here to, even if Gokumar has no other desire than to render personal service to Lord Jagannath, he is here told to understand that chanting his mantra is intimate service to the Lord. So, this thing where Sanatan Goswami very clearly says that chanting, the chanting which we can do every day, it is in itself a very intimate, a personal service of the Lord. So it has it definitely helped me increase the appreciation for chanting at the limb of bhakti. And then, and so this is there. And then Sanatan Goswami also says that the about Srimati, that this privilege of serving Sri Radha is the rarest goal of life. And it is fitting that this privilege be attainable only by executing the most excellent of sadhanas. Then he says that this most excellent of sadhanas is actually chanting the holy names. That is to say, one can please her divine grace only by the sacrifice of purely chanting the names of Sri Radha Rasik, the hero of the Radha dance. In sweet voices, the servants of Sri Radha always meet melodiously and loudly chant Krishna's name. So this is the second point. And then we have this, 1 second, sorry. So we have this this thing that the potency of the mantra. This point I like very, very, very much. This whole this theme I like so much, that how the mantra is so powerful that even though the Gop Kumar and that Prag Jyotishpur Brahman, they both did not know the potency of the mantra they were chanting, but the mantra was always, always protecting them. And the mantra was always revealing to them, was protecting them and helping them. So it is our great fortune that we have received this mantra and we are connected to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So this Brahman of Prag Jyotishpur, Srila Sanatan Goswami says that earlier he was worshipping Kamakhya Devi, but then he never, okay, I will go step by step. The Brahman had never studied the scriptures properly and had never heard a basic explanation of their message from authorized teacher. That such an unfortunate fool achieved all his ambitions is proof of the potency of mantra he received. And so here Srila Sanatan Goswami is glorifying the mantra. And then how was the Brahmana's attention attracted away from his worship of Devi? So he was worshipping Kamakhya Devi, but then when he started chanting the mantra, he felt no attraction for her worship. Instead, why? Because the Gopal mantra made such a vivid impression on him that he completely forgot his other religious activities. And then the Brahman's chanting gradually increasing its effect, he soon gave up sinful activities and needless sense gratification and took up a renounced life. So that chanting, it brought about Vairagya. It brought Vairagya in that Prag Jyotishpur Brahman, and he left his house and he went to search, he went to the pilgrimages. And then his heart was drawn to Lord Gopal, but his mind was in a dilemma. So this is when he meets the Mayavadis. That time he starts contemplating that, oh, should I take sannyas or should I just chant my mantra? But he has so much attraction for chanting the mantra that he is not able to leave. So he's in confusion. So Srila Sanatan Goswami here says that such is the likely result of fellowship with impersonalists. One's determination becomes fickle and one cannot choose the right thing to do. So at this point, that we should be careful of where we hear and read from and stick to the teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So Srila Sanatan Goswami is making this point here. And this point, Balam Shakti Prabhuji also makes again and again, that how we have to be very, very careful of where we are reading and hearing from. Otherwise, we will not be able to protect our faith. So Sanatan Goswami is confirming here that our determination will become fickle and we will not be, we cannot choose the right things to do. And then this is all Pragyotishpur Brahman, so I will just skip it. So many this. Now I will go to Gop Kumar. So Gop Kumar, even though he went to Jagannath Puri and he was very attracted to Jagannath's form, darshan, but still his heart was, he carried that pain of remembrance of Vrajadham. And Srila Sanatan Goswami in the purport, he says that Gop Kumar's indelible recollections of Vrajadham, far from being just sentimental, were a sign that by chanting his mantra, he was reaping transcendental results. So this thing really touched my heart because I understood that the process we are following, the mantra that we are chanting, it is so powerful that even if at the present stage we have no attraction for Vrindavan, we have no attraction for Shishri Radha Govinda in Vrindavan for their service, we have no attraction for Praja, but still we will be awarded that attraction, we will be awarded that taste, that the desire. So this thing gave me so much solace because I really have no taste and no attraction, but I felt that, but I'm very fortunate because I have got this process and I have got this opportunity to chant this mantra, to practice in the association of such wonderful Vaishnavas, such wonderful Acharyas. I can hear their literatures. So gradually, if I keep practicing sincerely, the love for Shri Vrindavan Dham, desire to serve Radha Govinda, attraction for them, it will be awarded to me. So this thing really helped me so much. It gave me so much hope. And then when Gop Kumar became the king, then Gop Kumar's mantra protected him like that. So this is one thing which I, there are so many things, Prabhuji, but I will take so much time, so I will not share, I think, because I already crossed 15 minutes. So I will not say, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this. So much is there.
You can take another 5 minutes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Okay, fine, Prabhuji. So this thing, this thing really helped me very much. And this one. Okay. So then glories of Sankirtan. So glories of Sankirtan, we saw that offenseless Sankirtan with concentrated attention naturally develops into spontaneous attraction to Krishna and his loving service. So here Prabhuji was telling that how when we are chanting our japa, it is also kirtan because we are chanting loud. And if we get to chant in the association of devotees, it is sankirtan. So if we try to chant with concentrated attention, then acharyas are repeatedly confirming that it develops into spontaneous attraction to Krishna. So we should try this chanting. This sankirtan has been so much glorified by our acharyas. And one very important point which Srila Sanatan Goswami makes is that even offensive chanting of Krishna's names, if continued long enough, will free one from disqualifications. So even if we are now committing offenses, we should not stop chanting. We should continue chanting. We should be repentant. We should try to not commit offenses, but we should take shelter of holy name, pray to the holy name to make us offenseless, but continue chanting, praying, begging, then we will become free from our disqualifications. So this one important point, very nice point. And this one, very nice, that what should be our consciousness towards Lord's Prasad. So now there is whole section where Srila Sanatan Goswami is glorifying Lord Jagannath's Prasad. That is in Puri section. But before Gop Kumar came to Puri and he saw the behavior of those Vaishnavas towards Prasad, and it hurt him very much that they were rejecting the Prasad if it was touched by some outcast people like that. So Srila Sanatan Goswami quoted a verse there, and this verse really increased my appreciation for Prasad so much, that, oh, twice born, one should never question whether remnants of food and drink offered to the Lord of the universe are fit or unfit to eat. One should never make such distinctions. The Prasad of the Lord is as incorruptible as the Vedic mantras and Lord Vishnu himself. Those who consider whether the Lord's Prasad is eatable or uneatable will suffer leprosy. So this thing where the Prasad is glorified so much, it is we have heard so much, but we keep forgetting. But again, when I heard this, it that we should never think where it is coming from, who has seen it, who has touched it, is it jutha or what it is. Just we should honor it and our consciousness. So we had a discussion with Prabhuji also, and Prabhuji ultimately in that question answer session, he answered that what should be our consciousness while we are accepting Prasad? That is the most important. So it is the consciousness while accepting Prasad. Na, if we take it in that consciousness, the Prasad can actually transform our heart. We should really chant Prasadam prayers, Mahaprasade Govinde, and in full consciousness we should chant. And like how I remember that this point was made also by Adi Bhagwan Prabhu, that when we are reading the prayer of this Prasadam prayers, Mahaprasade Govinde, then we are accessing the consciousness of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we should definitely read those prayers while we are taking Prasad, and we should in that consciousness that the Prasad of the Lord is non-different from Lord, we should take Prasad. So this one thing also helped me very much. And project time, I think I'm done.
Yeah, one more you can share.
Actually, when I was preparing, I thought it's just for 15-20 minutes, but I think I prepared for so long. Then one thing again that Srila Sanatan Goswami mentions is that in all circumstances, we should continue our spiritual practices out of gratitude. So he says that Gop Kumar's guru, even though he was a perfected soul, so Gop Kumar's guru was a perfected soul, but still he will dutifully, he was performing daily his japa and dhyan, though he was already perfect in chanting. So as the tantras prescribe, Srila Sanatan Goswami says, even a person who has perfected the chanting of his mantra should continue to perform regular worship through japa and dhyan to show gratitude to his spiritual benefactors. So even when we are not feeling more, at least they have perfected, but we are sadhakas. So even though when we have difficult circumstances, we have difficulties, we are not feeling inspired, but still we should continue out of gratitude. This thing, and one last. This is, I will skip one thing. I will just say, Prabhuji, this I remembered.
Yeah.
So this one purport we discussed. It is, I think, 2.1.24, where Prabhuji said that this purport we should read before going to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Whenever we are going to Vrindavan Mathura, this one purport we should really read fully and meditate on it, and then we should go to Vrindavan Mathura Dham. So in that purport, Srila Sanatan Goswami is glorifying Bhaum Vrindavan. He is glorifying Bhaum Vrindavan, and he is telling so many glories of Vrindavan Mathura, Bhaum Mathura. So I will just read few of them. So Srila Sanatan Goswami says, "Of course, the blessed district of Mathura, the best of all places, is already manifest on earth and can most certainly provide Sri Nanda and others the exceptional happiness of taking part in the Lord's wonderful pastimes. But Uttara has doubts because that Mathura is within the material world. Thus, she is asking whether another transcendental location exists for the pastimes of Krishna and his favorite devotees. Although the earthly Mathura is located within the material realm, it remains untouched by the influence of illusion, just as the Supreme Lord himself, his devotees, and his pastimes remain unaffected by illusion when they descend to the material world. That the glories of earthly Mathura are hidden from ordinary eyes indicates the greatness of that abode. So here, even the glories of earthly Mathura is not revealed to Uttara Devi also, even though she is such an exalted devotee, because glories of earthly Mathura is only revealed to those devotees who have love for Braj Prem, who are Brajvasis. Indeed, the earthly Mathura and its glories are eternal. They are not destroyed even when the universe is annihilated. Devotees who think that Mathura may in the future disappear are mistaken, because in fact, Mathura is beyond destruction, even by the Lord's ultimate divine weapon, the Sudarshan disc, which is the governing force underlying material time, the destroyer of the worlds. All the same, Mother Uttara is asking about some other supreme place because the greatness of earthly Mathura is not at once perceived, and because many people have not heard about the wonderful activity the personality of Godhead displays there. So this all, and then he says, and when the entire universe or the three middle planetary systems are destroyed, the earthly Mathura becomes invisible and merges back into Sri Goloka. In other words, Mathura is not destroyed. It remains unchanged above the wheel of time. But because the Lord's pastimes are then no longer perceivable in Mathura on earth, it seems that the personality of Godhead continues to enjoy himself only in the corresponding spiritual realm. So it seems, but Lord is always enjoying in Goloka Mathura also. And so Sri Golok is considered the ultimate destination of spiritual endeavor. Sri Narada may sometimes ascribe to Mathura on earth glories even greater than those of Goloka, but that is not contradictory, since the two places are in essence non-different. Whatever is said about one of them is true of the other. So this Golok Mathura and this spiritual Mathura and this Golok Vrindavan, they are non-different. So in essence, my appreciation for chanting, and then my appreciation for prasad, my appreciation for dham, my appreciation for Vrajavasis, my appreciation for Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, my appreciation for Srila Sanatan Goswami, everything increased by attending these classes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. That was quite exhaustive, and I think you probably did not manage to complete even probably just 50% of what you had prepared. But very, very wonderful, Mataji. First, we all owe a lot to Mataji for her tireless effort in making those summary sheets, which we all are getting so free of cost, just like that. So she is putting all the hard work there to compile all that, summary sheets, not only for Laghu Bhagavatamrita, but for many other courses. The morning japa quotes that you are getting are compiled by her. So we all are getting, even though that japa time does not match with her time, in the Middle East, but still she very carefully every time shares the you know, japa quotes, the summary sheets and everything. So we all must be very grateful for her wonderful selfless service and very so many wonderful beautiful points. You know, I don't want to repeat all of that, but some very wonderful points like how spiritual emotions are not the same as material emotions. She shared from the examples of Bhima, Arjuna, Kunti and so on, and Uddhava, Satvika, Matsarya and Satyabhama's envy, how Sanatana Goswami very carefully protects us from actually, you know, misunderstanding these perfected devotees. And some very, I mean, these are the kind of things that she had picked up, if you have noticed, essence. Definitely pure essence, you know, what we have discussed, you know, chanting as a personal service to the Lord. Because chanting is in our hands and we do it every single day. If only we understood and appreciate that it is the most personal service to the Supreme Lord, the most excellent of all the sadhanas, then we would do it with so much more attention and appreciation. So then about the potency of the mantra, with so much appreciation Mataji spoke about the potency of the mantra through both the Pragjyotishpur Brahmana's case and in the story of Gopakumar, how mantra always protected them, and the great fortune that we have, that we have received the same mantra and we are connected to the same parampara, the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara. And then very beautifully she shared another essence point. Sarangai was Sarabuk. You know, just like Parikshit Maharaj was always an essence seeker, you know, similarly, you know, here, you know, practically what she has presented is probably in one sense the essence of what we have. If the essence of all the Vedas is Bhagavatam, the essence of all Bhagavatam is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And the essence of all Brihad Bhagavatamrita was very perfectly presented. You know, fellowship with impersonalists, you know, in the journey of the Pragjyotishpur Brahmana, very beautifully, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that how it makes the determination to practice our spiritual practices very fickle. It makes our determination very fickle. Gopakumar's recollection of Vrajadam and the transcendental result of chanting the mantra. The importance of Sankirtan, how offenseless Sankirtan actually develops into spontaneous attraction to Krishna. And this is actually the personal realization of Vaishnavas, both past and present, who have applied themselves to this principle of offenseless Sankirtan. Very wonderful consciousness towards Lord's Prasad. That was something that we really discussed a lot. And another very important point, that how even though sometimes the practice, the spiritual practices may become difficult, but out of gratitude we continue. You know, this is a very, and finally, of course, the greatness of Bhauma Vrindavan, Bhauma Mathura. Twice we, you know, we read through the whole purport. Two sessions we dedicated just to relish that purport. And Kartik is coming from today. Chaturmas has started very soon. Kartik will start. And even before Kartik, many of you might start visiting Vrindavan, Mayapur and other such places. Many of you must have visited Puri also during the Ratayatra. These are essential purports. These are like, I would say, like landmark purports, very wonderfully chosen. You know, this is like the essence of all essence of all essence, very beautifully presented. So, no doubt, the gratitude is pouring from all corners, you know, in the chat box. Someone says, Kalanidhi Prabhu says, rousing presentation, Arpita Mataji, very inspiring, and not a word was exaggerated. Hari Bol. Yeah. Very grateful to you, Arpita Mataji. Very okay. And beautiful presentation. Do you mind sharing your presentation? Yes, we all request. Yeah, because this is the essence of the essence of the all essence. Devotees would like to have the presentation of Arpita Mataji. So I'm sure she would not mind sharing. So she will share the PPT in the group. I will share it. So thank you very much. It was really wonderful. Very nice presentation. And now I will read some appreciation that has been shared with me. One appreciation which has been shared with me by Her Grace Sharanya Radha Mataji from Pune. Her time does not suit our regular discussion time, but she's such a sincere person. She started hearing Brihad Bhagavatamrita very late, but every day she spends 3 to 4 hours hearing 2 or 3 sessions of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and that way she has caught up with our current pace. Actually, with such sincerity, she hears at least 3 to 4 hours of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and she has expressed her appreciation. I will just read it for you. She says, in this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So this is, she's quoting probably a statement by Srila Prabhupada. He says, I remember how many times I have read, heard and repeated this in my tenure at Krishna Consciousness. But after hearing Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I have got the firm faith that the holy name is a magic wand that has the capacity to take me to the lotus feet of my worshipable Lord. Presumably through the experience of the Pragjyotishpur Brahmana and Gopakumar. So she says that I have repeated this so many times, but only after hearing Brihad Bhagavatamrita, she has developed the, firm faith that the holy name is indeed the magic wand that has the capacity to take one to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. When I hear Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I feel as if this is the journey of each and every sadhaka. And just by sincerely following the instruction of Acharyas like Srila Sanatana Goswami, someday I will attain perfection. Sometimes it takes time to understand the philosophy and get a conviction. But when we hear something in a story format, or we hear the personal experience of a devotee, it immediately touches the heart. Srila Sanatana Goswami has very nicely touched the heart of all the readers of Brihad Bhagavatamrita by explaining the deep truths in the form of a story. On this most auspicious day of Gaur Purnima, I humbly beg at the lotus feet of Srila Sanatana Goswami to bless me the knowledge, guidance and support to practice bhakti. May I always remember the teachings of Brihad Bhagavatamrita and get some realization of it. Very beautiful presentation. Very simple, very profound expression of gratitude. Thank you very much, Mataji. And I will again open up for live sharing, but in the meantime, before I forget, those who have sent their offerings, I would like to read them and play them. There is an offering in the chat box too, by Radha Sevika Mataji. I will read. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Sanatana Goswami. We will be forever indebted to Srila Sanatana Goswami for revealing the esoteric truths of bhakti and guiding us, the conditioned jiva, giving in details. For revealing the nature of the conditioned soul, ignorant fickle-minded and easily distracted. What it takes to be an exalted devotee. So he is revealing all these things and she's expressing her gratitude for to Sanatana Goswami for revealing all these things. What it takes to be an exalted devotee. To be sincere in our practice and services. To practice simplicity and be humbled. To develop unflinching faith in Guru, Shastra, the Lord and His holy names. To always associate and attract the mercy of the devotees and the Lord. For revealing the nature and the lives of other worlds, material and spiritual and more. The knowledge of the spiritual world, spiritual beings and their intimate dealings with the Lord, which is absolutely inaccessible to conditioned jivas. The procedure to be reinstated in our original constitutional position in the spiritual world. For exemplifying in His manifest Leela all of His teachings. Right? So, we always seek His blessings and mercy that we can follow His teachings to attain the goal of life as taught by Him. Srila Sanatana Goswami Ki Jai. Thank you very much. Beautiful. Very nice expression of gratitude. Thank you very much. So, I have two devotees who have sent audio recordings as a presentation and I would like to share them. First, I will play a recording by Radhika Kasturi Mataji. So you might be wondering, who is this? Who is Radhika Kasturi Mataji? For those of you who might not know, I would like to give a very short briefing about her. She is such a sincere devotee. All the recordings, YouTube recordings, all of which you are getting, she painstakingly uploads all of that. And for many of the sessions, like Brihad Bhagavatamrita especially, she is the one who makes the template. The template PowerPoint is made by her. I just do the anvaya, you know, the verse. I put the, Sanskrit verse in the translation. That anvaya is made by me, but the essential PowerPoint is made by Mataji. And all my sessions, you know, all Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Chaitanya Shikshamrit, Manas Siksha, Bhaktiya, not Bhaktiya Loka, but, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhagavad Gita, everything she uploads. She maintains the whole YouTube thing. So, and very, very prompt. Even many times I forget to inform her, but she herself, finds out and uploads everything. Not only that, even though she's in the United States and for none of our sessions, her time matches, but she listens to every single lecture. Despite, working, she works 8 to 10 hours a day and uploads all these things. She gives classes and still she takes care of her family and still finds time to upload the sessions, hear the lectures, ask doubts. Very sincere. So she has shared her appreciation of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Srila Sanatana Goswami. So I will share it. Just give me a second.
Pranams, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Can you hear? Can you hear the voice?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for walking us through this Brihad Bhagavatamrita journey. It is a blissful journey. Without your classes, I don't think I would have been in a position to understand what the intent and the mood of the devotees are with Srila Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for making it so relishable and enjoyable for all of us. Really, really appreciate it. Now, coming back to my realizations, I just have a few of them. So I'll just share whatever is available and that comes to my mind. So Sanatana Goswami's attempt again is to explain us what love is and how this love should be absolutely pure so that eventually we can all aim and achieve and try to get that pure love. Our real business is to love not just Krishna, right? but to love Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the mood a devotee has to develop. And I'm really attracted by that mood that Sanatana Goswami Pad is bringing to all of us. And then Sanatana Goswami Pad is trying to prove in his book that he wrote it very openly in the first, in the first foreword, or just after that, he had written the statement to say, this book is not meant for everyone, but only those who truly appreciate it. If someone else reads this book, then what is going to happen to him? He says that this person is not going to believe in this book. What is going to happen eventually to him is that he is going to become irritated and he will become repulsed by it. As a result, he will start feeling dislike for acharyas like Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad. And then as a result, whatever little faith he has, that also is going to be shaken. So it is definitely for the benefit of the readers that he is giving us this warning upfront only as to who this audience is, who should be the audience, and who this is meant for. So again, I am really appreciative of our acharyas because they give us hints and pointers to actually avoid aparadh. So this is like blaspheming acharyas, our scriptures and things like that, which is eventually going to lead to fall down of that particular devotee who has a particular shraddha. So obviously our acharyas don't want that to happen, and they warn us. And then he says this book is for those, again, to understand the prayojan as it's brought to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he further says, I am writing this book for people who actually want to get prema. And he says, okay, when we ask this question, who can get it? The one who wants to get it will get it. If you don't want to have it, if you listen to it, then it's going to only get worse, because what is going to happen eventually is that you're going to reject this, you're going to have some sort of misunderstanding because of reading this book. So he particularly says that this book is only for Vaishnavas, so that is whom I address this to. And with regards to the first volume, I definitely felt very happy listening to Narada Muni's journey, how the feelings of rasa were beautifully intertwined and illustrated in the whole journey of Narada Muni. I was actually trying to question myself, how would I react in this particular situation put through by a particular devotee, and I felt so humbled by seeing the devotee's action and mood in various situations. So I don't want to list all of them, but I am definitely moved by the element of rasa, which makes it so relishable, because we are always so used to material emotions, and actually seeing the spiritual aspect of emotions and how Prabhuji actually contrasted it with Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra to how the spiritual emotions actually work in case of a devotee, because these two feelings are so different. And the spiritual emotions actually lead you to bliss and happiness and satisfaction. On the contrary, the material emotions are always going to lead you to distress. So this concept is definitely very enjoyable and relishable. And this was beautifully captured in the volume 1. And how Narada Muni's eagerness to glorify, who is the greatest devotee? He definitely, I think, would have known Srimati Radharani as the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. But obviously, this play is played for all of us to show that, see how each devotee is trying to glorify the other devotee, and how they really have that humility within their heart, and how they genuinely feel that kind of... So whatever praise they do for the other devotees, it's naturally coming out of the real feelings that they have for them. It's just not artificial. Sometimes the emotions that we see in the material world are so artificial, but here are the real emotions that each devotee feels for the other devotee, and how humble they are to accept that. Oh yeah, even if a prize is given to them, they just don't accept the prize, but then they transfer it to somebody who is better than them. So this was something very nice. How the whole narration happened, something that I can't express in my words. I'm really, really thankful for that. And I'm also very much taken in volume one. I was taken aback by the fact that Narada Muni glorified his disciple Prahlad Maharaj. For our spiritual master to glorify a devote, glorify his disciple so much, is definitely commendable and appreciable. And this shows Narada Muni's real love for his disciple, and that is again not tinged with all of our material emotions. Obviously, we are talking about transcendental personalities here, but I definitely wanted to point out that. And how, if we don't actually, I remember Prabhuji, Balaram Shakti Prabhuji, bringing up this point that how if we don't get an opportunity to serve an advanced devotee, say in a situation that we are put into, how when we can't serve an advanced devotee, how we have to actually feel happiness for the other devotee who's actually getting that opportunity to serve. Actually, this is the mood that a devotee has to develop, and this is what pleases Krishna. This is the way to advance in devotional service. We have to feel happy for the others who are actually getting that opportunity to serve more than even us. And this is also expressed through Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where you know, during a conversation with, I just don't remember the specifics, but Prabhuji actually talked about the transcendental jealousy, which is a sort of feeling a devotee would have, which is a sort of feeling of jealousy that is actually going to lead to happiness, the Suddha Sattva. I think it was with Uddhava, if I'm not mistaken, but I really wanted to, that really stood out into my heart. Again, I'm just not able to go through the specific references here, so I'm just talking whatever that stuck to me, so that I could glorify Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad. And then another realization that that has happened, I mean, obviously there are so many realizations, but then Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad is trying to prove this point that bhakti is not a means, but bhakti is not the means to the end, it is the end in itself. Because we look at other paths, and here Gopakumar is actually walking us through various paths where bhakti is used as secondary or primary, but either case, bhakti is not the end. I mean, these people who are in these different paths, they have a fruit in mind, and ultimately the sadhya is different. And here we are talking about bhakti, where bhakti is not a means to the end, but it is the end in itself. This is the point that Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad is trying to prove to us. And as Prabhuji always repeats this statement, which is stuck into my heart, is we should not be stuck with other ideologies. We should be staunch in our parampara and stick to the parampara, and not be obviously diverted to the other ideologies. And at the same time, we should have this pure bhakti, and we should have this goal very clear into our mind. It is the Vrindavan Krishna that we are aiming to reach, and it's not nothing else in between. So we should not compromise on our goal. And then I was also specifically, there's something that stuck to my heart also, is the commentary specifically on Krishna's feelings for Radharani, and how Krishna felt the gopis really touched his heart. Those exchanges were so, so good. I really wanted to tell that. And then the beautiful insight that Sanatan Goswami Pad is sharing with us is that we should understand, obviously whenever he gives us some insights which are not in the verses, that actually helps us understand the mood of a devotee, the inner mood of the devotee. And then obviously in the volume 2, which is so fresh into our minds, Gopakumar's journey and how his Guru Nishtha is. Again, I would like to develop that Guru Nishtha as that of Gopakumar, and would try to imbibe and follow sort of his dedications, because obviously he was very, very dedicated in following the teachings of his Guru in all circumstances. So this is something that I really loved, and I would like to develop that mood of Guru Nishtha looking at Gopakumar. So these are all my realizations. I mean, obviously there is more to add, but I wanted to really thank everyone for listening, and I also wanted to thank Prabhuji for helping me understand this Brihad Bhagavatamrita scripture. Truly indebted, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So that was really very nicely said. And Kalanidhi Prabhu is expressing his gratitude to Mataji for her painstaking service to devotees, amidst her material chores and timing mismatch to join the meetings live. Her recollections show that her services are not mechanical. Oh, certainly not. Certainly not. Her appreciation of Sanatana Goswami is very deep and erudite. Yeah. So she is very sincere and she has been attending all the sessions. Practically, she hears everything and she has very profound questions also. Anyway, I have one more recording to share. This is from Barsana Kumari Mataji. She has also been attending right from the beginning, and even if she misses the regular sessions, she makes up for it by hearing the recordings. Very particular, and she attends practically almost all the sessions. Very sincere. So I will play it, but it will be a little bit disturbing, because you'll be able to hear the rain pouring down at GEV right now. So Mataji stays in GEV and the rain is pouring down, but still you can hear her appreciation amidst all that pouring of rain in the background. So I'll play it now. Just give me a second.
Krishna, it is raining heavily, but I thought I'll do the recording and send it to you, so that in some way I can please you. As it is said, today is the greatest festival for the Vrajavasis on this auspicious day of the disappearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami. They are doing parikrama just because it was pleasing to Sanatan Goswami. So I thought I'll make my attempt and do this recording to you. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga Shri Jiva Gopalako. So this I have heard from Prabhupada and little from Maharaj. So whatever understanding I could assimilate from your lecture, I'll just tell in few minutes. So Prabhupada says that Sanatana Goswami has written many books. Of this, there are four. Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is like original Vaishnava etiquette, maybe wherein initiation rules or some festival observations, many are written by him. Of course, it's a joint between Gopal Bhatta Goswami and him, but particularly Sanatan Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Secondly, it is said next book is Dasham Tipani, that is 10th canto commentary by Sanatan Goswami. Third is the poetry glorification of Krishna's pastimes, that is Krishna Leela Stava. I heard the story for the first time that it was lost actually, this book, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciple, when he was meditating on the bank of Yamuna on this book, Yamuna Devi gave it back. The original manuscript written by Sanatan Goswami in his own handwriting, they got it and then it was republished, Krishna Leela Stava. And fourth is Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which from the childhood I wanted to hear actually. Childhood in the sense, in my Krishna consciousness childhood, when I heard Bhagavatam is there and Brihat Bhagavatamrita is also there, wherein story of different devotees are mentioned. So I was wondering, and finally by your mercy, when you started for the Brahmacharis online, I could attend, and that's how glorification of Yamuna Devi Govardhan started from there. So these two books of Sanatan Goswami, if I could glorify in some way, whatever I could understand, then I will make some justice to your lectures. So Gopi Pranadhan Prabhu says that he gives a good analogy, like it's like a Indian system music, wherein theme is one, raga is one, and it is taken to a higher level. Like musicians, they understand that little bit change is there, and then it reaches all the instruments players, and then it reaches to a crescendo. So it is like this. So Narad Muni first asks King, and then to Indra, then Brahma, then Shankara, Prahlad, Hanuman, Pandavas, Uddhava, residents of Dwarka, and then residents of Vrindavan. So it is directing him to a one higher devotee. Actually, directly they could have understood that gopis are the highest, but no, in between also how it little bit changes and then it goes to a higher level of a devotee. So from there we can understand how Krishna reciprocates with each and every devotee, and even the devotee, how he relishes. So this is one point. And in this also I like the point, there are many, actually every purport we relish the later part, but I liked mainly maybe Krishna when he was in Dwarka. So everyone was asking him that Uddhava particularly, that Vrajvasis are suffering, how is that you are going to Hastinapur everywhere, but how is that you are not going to Vrindavan to meet them when they are so much dear to you, and also they are suffering mainly, how is that you are not going? So in that very good point of Sanatan Goswami's, actually it is, this book is really today glorification, because 2500 verses are written by Sanatan Goswami, and full exhaustive commentary is written by him. So it is like he gave that analogy which I like. If someone is hungry, then it takes time, right? He can't eat food immediately, so it takes time. So similarly, if Krishna would have gone to meet Vrajavasis, it is like they would have been, first of all, he has come back. They would have not digested it. And it's not just coming back. They wanted to have pastimes also. And not for a short period. It should be for a longer period of time. And in that, Krishna would have, he wanted to establish dharma, right? So he is not having so much of time. And that is okay, but Vrajavasis would have been constant anxiety that his time, when this time will come to go back, he will leave us and go back. So this, because of that, Krishna couldn't go to Vrindavan actually. I like this. And second point in that only, it was like so many reasons are there, but that ecstasy of separation, it is not because of the impending meeting, but it's like for them it is a pleasure. That ecstasy or that pain is there, but that is a pleasure for them. It is like here also nicely it is written analogy. It suppose iron rod and block of fire, both are giving burning sensation, but block of iron ice gives numbness. It's like some illusory feelings of burning sensation is there, but it is okay. So it is like for the Vrajavasis also, it's a ecstasy, great ecstasy, but it is hankering for our Vipralamba. So these points I like. And second canto now, whatever is going on, I'm not so much attentive, but whatever recordings I have heard, it is like Gop Kumar's journey. He visits different places now, Jagannath Puri, Mahaloka. But by the chanting, actually the essence of what is, I could understand that how by chanting the mantra one can progress. And it's just a charcha actually, wherever he goes, and he sees, he's in Vrindavan, he chants, he goes to different places, different lokas, and then he feels no, Vrindavan is better, it is satisfying. So like this way he will go and maybe ultimately Goloka, and then he may think that, hey, this place is none other than Vrindavan. Maybe that would be the essence you will tell us in a better way. So we are eagerly waiting to Gopkumar journey in each planet and then coming back to Vrindavan, chanting, again going, and then it's like for us to understand we don't have to visit. Ultimate is for our destination will be Goloka. That should be the conclusion, maybe by Gopkumar. But both these volumes, and thank you so much actually for this. Your of course, Sanatan Goswami, Gopi Pranadhan Prabhu has given us all this, but you are giving us a practical tips of how to go on with this journey. Narad Muni has understood in first canto, and Gopu Kumar is experiencing it in the second canto, what I felt actually. And you are giving us the practical lessons, what to do and what not to do, and what is the ultimate goal of our life. So on this auspicious day, I really pray that whatever mission you have in your mind, that Sanatan Goswami and all these acharyas empower you and you fulfill all your desires. Whatever way I could assist or help you, whatever, that Krishna gives me intelligence. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hare bol.
So that was a very nice presentation. So we still have some time. Anyone else would like to share your appreciation of Srila Sanatan Goswami? We still have time. You can please raise your hands and you can please go ahead and speak. Anyone? Okay, Kalanidhi Prabhu says, every devotee excels in the depth of appreciation and realizations. This is very hope-giving. Yeah, this is very hope-giving all of us. Anyways, but if there are no, there are no further devotees who are ready to share their, I'm sure even if you do not share your appreciation either verbally or in a written form, the very fact that you all have, we started this session at 12 o'clock and now it's close to 3 o'clock for 3 hours, the very fact that you all have attended in itself very clearly shows that you have tremendous appreciation. So some people might want to speak, some people may not be very comfortable speaking, but the very fact that you have attended these sessions in itself shows your tremendous appreciation. So we will not misunderstand you thinking that you don't appreciate. So please do not mind. Okay. Padma Sakhi Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yeah, you are audible.
Prabhuji, actually, I mean, I can't speak like all those people speak. So is it okay if I give a small offering but not related to Brihad Bhagavatamrit?
Yeah, you can keep it short, Mataji. Yeah, no problem. Please go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. So I've just written few lines because it's such an important day and we have been reading his books. It's like to glorify a personality like Sanatan Goswami would really require that kind of intellectual capabilities which we have seen so many devotees do have, which I lack. So I would like to just quote one verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Sanatan Goswami, because I feel that since I'm reading his books, at least this much I can do. I'm really indebted to him. Sanatana Goswami is such a wonderful and exalted devotee that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I am touching you just to purify myself. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrit, Madhya Leela. He's saying that I'm touching you just to purify myself because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe. He further says that you are the perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is the perfection of sense of touch. Glorifying your good qualities is the tongue's real activity. We are all very fortunate because we have got this opportunity to do all the above through his books. And this mercy has been bestowed upon us by His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhu. He's also known as an epitome of humility because although he was such a learned scholar, he says that I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life. And I would like to conclude my small offering by saying that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he says that the conclusions that you have told me are an ocean of ambrosia, of truth. My mind is unable to approach even a drop of that ocean. Although when we read his books, we have known from his books that the drop that he has taken from the ocean of ambrosia is in itself so large. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Madhuri. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Actually, yeah. How could we not share in a forum where we have come together to glorify Srila Sanatana Goswami? How could we not share Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own appreciation of Srila Sanatana Goswami? It would have been such an incomplete session, actually. It is like preparing such a fantastic bhoga and offering it to the Lord without tulsi. So extremely grateful. It was such foolish on our part that we did not take the time. But of course, tulsi comes at the last. So the bhoga is prepared from the beginning. But right before offering it to the Lord, the tulsi comes. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own personal glorification of Sri Sanatana Goswami is like that tulsi, and which you very perfectly, towards the end of the presentation, so beautifully, you have come and offered it. So that this whole session, 3-hour session, becomes actually offerable and pleasing to Srila Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So thank you very much. It was so wonderful and so appropriate, actually. So very grateful to you. One more hand is up. Radha Pramod Prabhu, please go ahead. Bro. Radha Pramod Prabhu. Can you unmute yourself and speak, Prabhu? Radha Pramod Prabhu, you're
able to hear me, Prabhu?
Now we are able to hear.
Able to hear.
Yeah.
It was a very wonderful session, bro. We could understand how much devotees are able to appreciate and their depth. That actually very inspiring. How much they are appreciating, understanding and relishing. I was also not very serious many times. I was having many other things while hearing. Now, because of hearing from all of them, I also develop a desire that I should also become more sincere and serious in understanding and listening. It was a very good exercise you have taken on this auspicious day. I really appreciate and hearing from devotees. And I know many of them who could not offer, they also have the same amount of appreciation, but because they cannot express or they are shy, that is the reason they may not be able to do it. But because the point that they are coming regularly and attending, that means they are very serious and sincere and trying to understand it. And this is because it is essence of essence. And it is not just, if we read on our own, we could not have never appreciated so much. Because this is a forum and all the devotees are coming and they are all doing it together. That is the reason we are able to release so much. Well, this is very amazing and very grateful for the opportunity, bro. And Of course, this is a great, great service which you are doing for all of us. And we wanted to thank you personally for giving us this wonderful opportunity and doing it. Of course, you have your schedules, but this is a very good exercise. You make us all do it. And especially when you recap every day and it comes, that makes us more helpful for us to understand. Even if I miss one session, I know tomorrow I can again sit and hear and I'll not miss much. Of course, some things we miss, like what Arpita Mataji did, some of the questions and answers we will miss. But otherwise, many of the things we are able to remember, actually. That is the main thing. We are able to remember because we are hearing again and again. Because of the recaps, we are able to remember many things. As such, if this is if the story is just 1.5 hours, you can complete whole story of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. But we did for 1 year, everyday classes. So it's not just the story. Many times, I know the story before also, but it is not the story, but it is how it was taken. And it, there is never a hurry to complete the syllabus or anything. It was trying to understand. And this is actually making so much difference for all of us, that it is not a question of how much you have covered. It is a question of how much we understood and trying to go ahead with that and trying to, and it also helps in making things very clear. Many things of the life, people, we are in hurry and doing many things, achieving many things. And after sitting with you and hearing, many things got clear. It's not that I need to run somewhere or achieve something. I just have to sit and understand what Acharya is telling, and that's the perfection of life. I don't need to do anything more than that. And they want that only. That you just try to understand and according to your capacity, try to help others understand. So this is what whatever I had after, maybe I didn't get great realization, but one realization I definitely got after hearing afternoon sessions especially is that there is nothing to run anywhere. You just have to be there and try to understand what acharyas are telling, and whatever you have understood, you can explain to others. That's all, and that's the perfection of life. This is what I understood. Maybe this realization I got, I did not run anywhere. So I'm very grateful, Prabhu, for this opportunity and how much you are doing for us. We really appreciate. Of course, I have to, my appreciation will be if I become more sincere. I'm trying. I have improved much than what I was from the beginning because of these sessions. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. And also, please forgive all the offenses and whatever we have committed.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. There is one last appreciation by Vidya Mataji. Our gratitude to Srila Sanatana Goswami for giving us the literature wherein nectarian lessons are hidden. My highlight of the class was a striking verse by Kunti Maharani where she says, Krishna Darshana Jivana. I mean, it is spoken about Kunti Maharani, not by Kunti Maharani. Meaning that in her life, there should be darshan of Krishna, or she was living due to, her life was running because of her darshan of Krishna. Therefore, a devotee's life should be in the mood of darshan of Sri Krishna. This includes always remembering Krishna, following the instructions, the spiritual master, and dovetailing all services to Krishna at all times. I understand that this is what at times when devotees may face distress, still one should have darshan of Krishna by developing strong faith on Guru and Shastra. Very nice, very beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so it was, I have to confess that this has been the most blissful session of all the Brihat Bhagavatamrita sessions. About 16 devotees have spoken and expressed their gratitude. And I am sure the rest also had deep gratitude for Srila Sanatana Goswami and his contribution, and it's just that it's probably not there nature to express in a public forum, which I totally accept. And I mean, probably if it was a different forum, even I would not have felt very comfortable sharing in a public forum my appreciation. So I totally I can feel for them. I can totally understand. But we all have no doubt that they have tremendous appreciation for Shri Sanatan Goswami. We should never think that those who are not expressing it, they don't have it. This is not at all true. Some people express through words, whereas some people express through their actions. The very fact that they have been regularly attending, and today for more than 3 hours, they have just sat and heard for so long, is in itself more than sufficient proof of their appreciation of Shri Sanatan Goswami. So in that way, there have been a few verbal offerings, there have been a few written offerings, and there have been a few practical offerings. Like all the other devotees, you have practically offered your appreciation of Shri Sanatan Goswami by your sincerity. So Sanatan Goswami is a perfected Saragrahi, and he will accept that essence of your offerings. So thank you all very much. It was so wonderful having your association and hearing from you the glorification of Shri Sanatan Goswami and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. I think we should do this more often. It was really nice. So thank you very much, and we won't have the Laghu Bhagavatamrita session because we are already, you know, it's 3 o'clock, 3:05, and so tomorrow we will continue with our Laghu Bhagavatamrita session and Brihad Bhagavatamrita session. Today evening we will have Bhaktyaloka. So for those of you, just a reminder, since you have time, you can please join. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami Pad ki jai, Srila Gopi Pandan Prabhu ki jai, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki jai, Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai, Shri Guru Purnima Mahamahotsav ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.